Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yo, 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 yo. Gentlemen.
Yo?
You ready to get this party started?
I don't think we are, actually.
Yes. Please, let's do it. When people finally get here, I want this thing to be cracking.
All right.
Then come on now, motherfuckers!
Who's he talking to?
He got so angry.
Let's get this fucking party started!
Language?
Yeah, you don't have to curse. We can...
You asshole! On the floor!
You really... I gotta stop you right there! I do not...
Jesus.
Let's get this motherfucker pumping! Let's start bumping!
I appreciate the rhyme, but I'm still not on board.
With bitches on the floor, we party all the more.
What do you call us?
Bitches, dude.
We're
acting
bitches.
Like bitches. Come on, guys. Let's just dance a little bit, please.
The three of us. All right. All right, motherfuckers.
Yes.
This bitch is ready to turn it loose.
And now.
But I don't see how anyone could dispute the quality of this opening ceremony. What a stunning, stunning achievement.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, there needs to be more fireworks behind him, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
No kidding. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, and it's the 3rd of Blovember.
For a while, it was our favorite month of the year, by the way.
Still my favorite month of the year, by the way.
Yes.
October?
Look forward to.
Really? No?
No, I'm saying Blovember.
I know what you're
saying. We can still celebrate Megan Fox. There's no reason why we can't do that. But we add the Blovember to it, and then...
Yeah,
that's now you got yourself a month.
Then you got
that's a nice 1-2 punch right there, man. And then you go into double December. I
right,
mean, it's
all
the
good.
Holidays are great. Yeah,
and we make holidays of every day.
We are going to take your calls here in just a minute for the all-new early edition of Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, talk about anything you want, if it's interesting, and we give you a prize. I heard Psycho Mike and Lisa, I think, talking about stuff that apparently happened after I left the Halloween party on Friday night.
Oh, there was some good stuff.
Did it get crazy?
Well, it did for a certain intern of ours. Is that what you guys were talking about?
Actually, we weren't having that. It must have been Mike talking to someone else.
Well, maybe it was Mike and Miss
Cleo.
Yeah. Well, I think we were discussing... Blinky.
I'm so glad Blinky is supposed to be in today.
What happened? Because I did not see this.
Well, we'll tell you later when we do the recap, but it does involve him being thrown out.
Oh.
It does happen.
Really?
Yeah.
He did seem to be having a very good time.
It got good.
I couldn't even talk to him. I was looking forward to meeting him. Couldn't even talk to him. Couldn't understand anything he was saying.
Yep.
He was just all over the place. He never stopped moving. He couldn't look at me. It was just weird.
I don't think Blinky gets out a lot.
He's 21, for God's sake.
Married with a kid.
Yeah. So
wow.
He showed up, and the first thing he said to me was, "Kevin, you always ignore me at work." I said, "What? Really?"
We every year we do the topic about people who drink too much at holiday parties and mm-hmm. do and say things, you know, with their coworkers that they shouldn't. I think we need to have Blakey in, find out how often that happens, and maybe do that again.
Yeah.
And didn't one of the partygoers, Mike, end up in an unfortunate and embarrassing situation as well?
Yes, with moisture.
Oh.
A female couldn't control herself.
Oh, no.
Really? Yeah, that I'm happened to a female to as well?
In the confessional on... that happened on TV.
On TV.
No
as the tape was rolling, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It was one of the funniest things I've seen on any K-Rock video. It was so natural and organic.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
They also videotaped our intern Blinky on the floor, writhing in what looked like joy. I don't know.
He was freestyle rapping.
Or he was having a stroke.
He was having sex with the floor, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway.
I can't be everywhere.
I know. Well, we'll give you the highlights coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, it's time to take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's our early morning edition of What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
For a long time, this is how we ended the show. This is what we did right before 10 o'clock, but they moved us to a new time slot, so we'll see how it goes. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize. Today it's a pair of tickets to the NHRA Auto Club Finals coming up on Sunday, November 16th. You know, you can win a Burnout Zone VIP package through KROQ.com if you're a street team member. Lightning is going to be there. Apparently it is as close to the starting line as you can get. All the details at KROQ.com.
All right, let's begin with Paul in Placentia. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
So basically, all the people, and I know this isn't true, who are still afraid that Obama is a Muslim or Al-Qaeda.
Right. Mm-hmm. By the way, huge difference, just for the record.
Yeah. Well, what they're afraid of is so ridiculous. Well, even if he's Al-Qaeda, they don't see that it's actually a good thing that America wins if he's Al-Qaeda. Because what we have is, if terrorists are no longer flying planes into buildings and resorting to our political process of democracy and putting forth a candidate for us to elect,
then we've all learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, and they're doing it our way. They bought into our system. We win.
What a way of looking at it.
I like the logic there. Now, that only works, though, if Obama is the new breed of good Al-Qaeda. Because if he's just, you know, being like on 24, he's just pretending to be the good president, and then he turns and figures out a way to blow up the world, then we lose more than we win.
Well, maybe. But could you imagine the patience and restraint they've had to show to... to run this country for so many years?
That's a good point.
They're on our side now.
Okay. So if he is Al-Qaeda, it would be good because now we have no enemies?
Yeah, and we win, and they believe in democracy. Isn't that our goal? Spread democracy?
Yep. Apparently. I'm totally with you. I think you're onto something.
Thanks. You thought about this all weekend. Thank you, Paul.
He must support terrorists.
That's probably true.
Let's go to Frank, who in Anaheim. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, guys. I don't know if you guys heard about this over the weekend, but I guess Governor Palin was doing an interview with who she thought was the French Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ended up turning to be a comedian.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't mean, but yeah.
It was a pretty crappy French accent, too.
Was it? I didn't even hear it.
I heard some of it,
and
yeah.
She thought that it was the real...
She thought it was Nicolas Sarkozy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she
awesome.
Sure did.
We're now, in great hands now.
Didn't you think, Lisa, that part of the gag for them was to see what a lame impression they could do and
yes.
still have her fall for it? Like, they were doing a movie French guy
totally.
Is what they were doing. Oh, we go hunting in helicopter.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I love to kill animals. And she's like, yeah, we'll have a great time. we may have to dig up some of that audio played for you later. But I think they're – what do they call themselves? The Masked Marauders or the something Crusader.
I don't know.
They got it's some wacky comedy duo. Can't make phone calls like that. Can't prank folks like that in the United States, as we once learned.
Yeah.
True.
In Canada, call
way.
Whoever you want. Put them on the air. No big deal.
All right. Let's go to Christian in Valencia. Good morning, Christian.
What to do, Matthew? What to do, baby?
What to do, Christian?
Hey, guys. I was stumbling across the internet one day on the keyword K-Rock, and I came across the Wikipedia entry. And mind you, maybe Bean's the only one that's interested in this kind of stuff, but it is a fascinating history to K-Rock and how it evolved. And the thing I found interesting personally was why K-Rock's signal stinks so badly. The antenna's located not on Mount Wilson like all the other ones, but instead it's like right up at Glendale, so people like us out in the fringes get really crappy signal.
Well, it's not just the placement, it's also the power.
Yeah,
it's
the power of our signal is 5,000 watts of music power. Everybody else is like 100,000. We got 5,000. We're like a little kid station.
It's sad.
Gotcha.
Yes, but thank you.
Check that one. It's really interesting.
Wikipedia has a lot of interesting stuff on there. I don't trust innately anything that I can change, though.
Yeah.
If I can change it.
It is a little worrisome. I wouldn't. You might want to get a second resource.
I wouldn't really trust it, I don't think. All right, let's go to Ron, who has a very important call for Bean. Good morning, Ron.
Morning.
What'd it do?
Hey, I saw Alita on Friday. She was showing cleavage.
Hold on a sec. Alita Laresca, the weather chick on Channel 4, where was she showing cleavage?
I'm doing the show on Friday.
Did she have a Halloween costume on?
Nope. Two-piece top. Showing some cleavage.
Wow.
Okay. Popping out of the top.
Mike and I saw that. We were watching Friday morning.
What?
And there was, how would you describe it, Mike? It was hardly cleavage.
Right. I mean, her chest was exposed.
Oh.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, no.
No boob, though.
It's better than the burqa she usually wears, but you agree with me, right? It was not cleavage.
Not at all. It was not anywhere near cleavage. It was weak, is what it was.
The fact that you guys can pinpoint exactly what she was wearing on Friday morning.
On Friday, yeah.
Is a little troubling.
It's just that her top went to the top of her boobs, and then you could see just a little tiny bit of curve on the top of her boobs that attached to her chest. But you never saw – there was no point where you could see like between her boobs or anything like that.
Right, but I'm suggesting is there's a lot of other places to go for that, so why do you keep going to her?
Because she taunts. That's why.
She taunts. She does not taunting at all. That's the problem.
She is.
It's a forbidden love, you know?
Wow.
She needs to be fired or sued or both. I don't. Don't even get me started. I hadn't even turned her on today because I was so furious with her from Friday, and now this a-hole caller has to bring it up. All right, let's close with Matt and Laverne, shall we? Matt is calling on line 3 this morning. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, Matthew? What'd it do, Lisa Mae?
What'd it do, Matt?
What's going on?
Hey, I went to a Halloween party a couple weeks ago, and
odd timing, but go ahead.
No, I was playing pool all night with a buddy's girlfriend's boyfriend of mine, and
That explains the Halloween party. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, so I'm at this party and we're playing pool all night, and then everything was nothing big. But then, like 4 days later, I read about this stabbing that went on at a Starbucks over in Glendora, right over by our house.
Right.
And it turns out that the guy that ended up getting attacked and stabbed was the guy I was playing pool with, like all night.
At wow.
At this party.
And was the guy that stabbed him you?
No, God, no.
So the guy left the party and went. Went to
What's
get coffee.
That?
The guy left the party and went to get coffee. Got stabbed.
No. It was a couple days later. Like he went over to this Starbucks. Right,
this is the most
coffee and everything. And
this
some
is the
guy
worst story
like...
I've ever heard in my life. You didn't need to include any of this stuff.
Right. Thanks
wow.
for the call.
I was just when I saw that his friend got stabbed. I was wondering. You know, it was like the summer of death continues in Southern California this weekend. There's all those homeless people shot in Long Beach.
Yeah.
There's all these stories of just carnage on the streets. I was just wondering if he had something. I don't know, maybe interesting. How do you take your friend getting stabbed and make it so boring?
Well, you start by saying it was a Halloween party a couple of weeks ago,
right.
Which, of course, had nothing to do with it. And then you talk about the fact that you're playing pool with him, which, of course, had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So that's good storytelling right there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. I mean, you know, that's our first early morning what it do, and we've got to retrain people, and we'll be better tomorrow.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Like we said, we got a full recap of Kevin and Bean's spooky singles party coming up this morning. We got some highlights of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, which...
Can't wait.
Boy, I'll tell you, they got some crazy people on that show this time, which is great. Gary Busey is the best.
He is insane.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah.
We also have the listener who had Rise Against play at his garage.
Oh, great.
Well, not his garage, technically, more like his driveway. I'm not sure exactly what happened.
You use what you have.
Yeah, you use what you have, I guess. Laird Hamilton, super famous big wave surfer.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fan.
No. Nope.
If anybody's not a Tim. We got a great instant request today. We're going to talk to Sustainable Dave.
Sustainable.
I'm sorry, we're going to talk to who?
Sustainable Dave. Nope. we have Harvey Levin on the program today from TMZ. Give you all the scoop on the celebs.
Great.
That's been going down. And a lot more. It's all coming up next. Ralph is next with the showbiz. How about them Cowboys?
Cowboys!
How about them Cowboys, Psycho Mike?
The noise they were making yesterday, they were playing.
That's the noise?
There are no Raiders.
How'd your Eagles do?
Raiders!
I didn't see the Raiders.
Before we get to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Raiders!
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in the first half of yesterday's game with -2 yards in offense.
That's hard to do.
Penalties or it had
everything.
Huh. Awesome.
They ended up the game with 10 yards in passing. They ended up the game with 10 yards in passing.
I could have done that.
3 first downs the entire game, blanked by
wow.
the Falcons, who looked pretty good.
Falcons,
yeah.
And the Raiders have the same record as the Seattle Seahawks, by the way. That's
yeah.
what's
well, the Seahawks
about.
Have been eliminated from
Seahawks!
Next year's playoffs.
Essentially, yeah. I was so glad. I was on a plane all day yesterday. It was a terrible travel day for me, and I missed the whole game, and I was so grateful when I heard the recap of how it went. I was so grateful to have not had to watch Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles come to Quest Field in Seattle.
First play from scrimmage, Seattle throws a 90-yard bomb for a touchdown. 7 points. 7-0 at that point.
Wow.
I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then from that point on, nothing. It was great.
You guys will love this statistic. Between the University of Washington Huskies, the Washington State Cougars, and the Seattle Seahawks, those 3 games over the weekend, Seattle was outscored 143-7.
Yeah. Well,
Huskies and Cougars were both blanked. Seahawks scored 7. That's what you call a bad football weekend.
Well, that's why their new city motto is Seattle is for losers.
I think that is true. That's it.
I had not heard that.
No, that's
You're
it.
You're
going to
put it on
motto.
All the license plates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about that? Okay.
They've thought that for a long time, but this weekend confirmed it. 5:51, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Real quick, as another aside, earlier this week in practice, the Raiders set aside time to celebrate, to practice their end zone celebrations.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. Maybe they should have been practicing something else, like how to get a first down.
How to get into the end zone?
Yeah, that would be good.
That's funny.
Made me laugh this morning. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number two at the box office.
The top, though, the movie that was
there wasn't
led the box office.
There was no number one this week, oddly enough.
It's strange.
They just started the list at two. Changeling was number four at the box office, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring the beautiful Angelina Jolie. Number five, The Haunting of Molly Hartley.
What?
It was number six at the box office. Beverly Hills Chihuahua still in the top 10 at number six. And The Secret Life of Bees, Max Payne, Eagle Eye, and Pride and Glory rounding out your top nine at the box office this weekend.
But if there was no number one, then wouldn't Zach and Miri be number one?
Ah, that's what you would think, but that's not how show business works.
Yeah. Really? You don't understand show business.
You don't understand Japanese business or show business.
Kevin, you were talking about trying to see Kevin Smith's movie. Did you make it?
I did.
How was it?
You know, it was funny, but what cracked me up is after all of the controversy about the word porno and the title and all that stuff, there was still somebody who went into that movie and then in my theater stomped out because they were so offended.
No
offended
kidding.
By the fake boning?
Like, come on. Oh. You've got to be kidding. First of all, you don't know what it is when you go. And second of all, it wasn't really that outrageous.
It wasn't. I saw it, too. I really liked it.
The scene that Ralph was talking about, I could have done without.
Did they walk out amongst the most offensive slash funny scene ever in the history of comedic movies?
They left before that funny scene, and I wish they wouldn't have, because then that would have...
They would have really have... They would have gone sprinting out of the theater.
Scene, that scene, I did not need to see.
Was I right or was I right?
You were correct.
Thank you so much.
And I did not need to see it.
I want to see it on an endless loop every day. Jeff Anderson, what an actor.
Yep.
Let's talk about Madonna. Apparently she's not nearly as brokenhearted about her impending divorce as she may portray. New York Post says she was hooking up with Alex Rodriguez at Jerry Seinfeld's vacation home recently. That's where they're meeting.
Okay, he's renting it out by the hour as a love getaway or something?
No, apparently Jerry's a mutual friend, and so he allowed them to use their place to try to get away from paparazzi, and apparently it worked. It was a cloak and dagger operation that involved both A-Rod and Madonna taking private helicopters from Manhattan to East Hampton, where they were picked up in separate vehicles, and then they were driven to Seinfeld's residence, went in separate entrances.
Wow.
Reportedly stayed there for about 4 hours, and then left.
You know, I'm not at all impressed with Alex Rodriguez getting Madonna. I'll tell you that.
Me neither.
Considering who he could get?
Yeah, doesn't it seem like he could do a hell of a lot better? I mean, with, you know, Jessica Alba and people like that in his past, why settle for Madonna?
Maybe she gave him the evil Kabbalah eye, put him under her spell.
Could be.
What happened to Madonna's face?
Good question. There was a fight for a photograph of Jessica Simpson leaving a Los Angeles restaurant on Saturday night that got ugly. Apparently, photographers started pushing towards Jessica, trying to get a photograph of her and her hairstylist and her best friend.
And her boobs.
Yeah. Apparently, her hairstylist best friend, Ken Paves, got caught up in the melee, started fighting with photographers, got a bloody nose, and had to be rushed off to the emergency room.
Does her hairstylist fight like the Cowboys?
How badly do they need pictures of Jessica Simpson? Where there has to be bloodshed.
No kidding. I can't imagine. I don't know.
We've seen her. We know. We got it. If you don't get the snap, you say Jessica Simpson, we'll be able to have a mental vision of who you saw coming out of the restaurant. Trust me.
Because we just saw pictures of her from yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It's not like much has changed.
It's madness. Hugh Hefner.
That was typical Jessica.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend Holly Madison's got a new boyfriend and has been confirmed. Photographs this weekend of her making out with Chris Mindfreak Angel.
No.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. What a loser.
Even 82, Hef's going to be like, really?
Yeah.
After me, you're going with him? By the way, Kevin looked excellent, by the way, as Chris Angel at the Halloween party this weekend.
Thank you. I did my best.
Give him
I didn't do my
for
best.
That.
I did all right.
You did just enough. That's what you did.
Barely enough.
Yeah.
Kevin can bring the douchebag when he needs to.
I can.
He's wearing the guy liner. I was very impressed.
Sure.
Cameron Diaz has some interesting theories about modern media. She says that she considers television the devil and believes there's an actual evil power that lives inside the television.
No.
She doesn't
believe that. She's being funny.
No, she's not.
Come on.
There's actual power that lives inside the tube, she said.
Come on.
She considers television the devil. So do I when pay-per-view showing what happens in Vegas.
Wow.
That's when I think television's the devil.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Come on.
People are
Was there any particular show or...
Nope.
she was talking about just television in general?
Yes, the medium. The medium itself is evil.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
La, 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 la. I want to join in, too. Let's all play something.
That matters, sir?
Vanessa Hudgens apparently is a whore.
Yeah. No,
that's what I'm talking about.
Pictures this weekend of her boyfriend, High School Musical, Zac Efron.
Stop it.
Oh,
doing what?
Honestly.
Doing what?
Honestly.
Doing
what? Can we make what a moratorium on that
Tell
goddamn
me what they were doing.
Sound?
Showcased
Let Ralph finish.
A huge hickey on his neck, and everyone is assuming it was given to him by his big-mouthed girlfriend, Vanessa Hudgens.
Or me, one of the two.
Get a laugh at the end?
Yes.
That was the creepiest
thing
ever.
It was so
ever.
Creepy.
Disgusting.
I'm hesitant to talk about this next story, given
then
what
don't.
Just transpired.
Then don't. Let's not give him an option. Let's not give him an intro.
But it'd be interesting for the kids.
Oh.
Tell me.
Apparently, there was a big shower sequence cut out of High School Musical 3.
I've seen the stills.
Where Zac Efron is singing and dancing in the shower. But apparently Disney thought it was too racy, so they cut it out. But photographs of the scene have hit the internet.
And Bean's house,
and
apparently.
Bean's house,
yes, they have. Yeah, those pictures are my wallpaper and not on my computer.
Yeah.
I'm done indulging that. How about you guys?
Oh.
Just, you got to ignore him. He's a little kid that keeps getting a reaction out of you, Mike. Stop reacting. You must.
Sorry.
Apparently, the scene was a duet between Zac Efron and a big black guy named Cletus.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, they were doing a duet, and Zac went, he hit that note for some reason. No one knows why. Big shakeup over at Heroes. You know, Heroes is struggling.
Yep.
Down in the ratings. NBC's unhappy with cost overruns over there on the set. Apparently, it's a very expensive show to make, as you can imagine.
Sure.
Big shakeup. This weekend, Jeff Loeb and Jesse Alexander, the co-executive producers of that show, have been fired.
Oh, wow.
From their own show.
Really?
Yeah. They were both writers as well as producers on the show.
Hey, I saw they took Peter Petrelli's powers away. That's how low budget it's getting.
Trying to save some money.
Yep.
Now he's just really sort of agile. That's his new power.
I mean, you save money if people aren't running fast or flying or anything like that. You start taking away the powers, it's going to be cheaper to make the show.
Yeah.
Heroes should go back in time when people cared.
$4 million per episode it costs to make that show.
Wow!
So as you can imagine, NBC's frustration with the creative direction of the show this season. I haven't been nearly as disappointed as some other folks have been, but apparently... Look, here's the thing with hot sort of... What they call a water cooler show, when everyone's sort of talking about it once it hits the airwaves. Eventually, that excitement wears off and people are going to watch less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Happens with all this. Happened with Twin Peaks. Happened with Lost, happens with Heroes. When you've got a big sort of pop culture phenomenon show like that, it tends to take a hit come season 3 or 4. So
it's almost impossible to keep that kind of momentum
exactly.
going.
Exactly. But NBC, I guess at those kind of numbers, wants a better return on their investment. Who can blame them? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress, comedian Roseanne Barr is 56. Dennis Miller, comedian, is 55. Supermodel Gemma Ward turns 21 years old today.
Good deal, right there.
Actor Dolph Lundgren. Yes, you probably remember him best as Drago from Rocky IV, or perhaps as He-Man from Masters of the Universe, the original live-action version of that cartoon, which was very entertaining. Or you may remember him best if you serve room service at a hotel for him answering the door nude, fully erect. That probably is how you best remember him if you work in that industry. He is 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
An hour from right now, by the way, we're going to give you a full recap of the Kevin and Bean Spooky Singles Party.
Yes.
Including one of the Kevin and Bean family getting thrown out of the party.
Sorry, people.
Twice. Including the worst hype man in the history of hype men, Dave the King of Mexico. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
All right.
Plus, on this morning's show, by the way, for the first time, tickets to a K-Rock Advance screening of Quantum of Solace, the new James Bond movie that has already played in some countries around the world, is just getting rave reviews. So if you're a Bond fan, stick around. You can win those tickets. Coming up very soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
One of our favorite shows is Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab 2.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was on late last week, and we didn't have time to look at it on Friday morning, so I got to tell you about it today. Amber Smith is a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is.
It looks every bit as good detoxing and throwing up as she does in a magazine. It's odd. Some chick from American Idol was on there. She doesn't really matter
Nikki
this year.
Nikki McKibben.
Rod Stewart's kid doesn't really matter this year. No one matters except for Jeff Conaway, who was on the first season.
Oh, yeah.
Dude from Taxi.
How is that dude still alive? He looks like he can barely move.
Since the last one, he's had, I think, two or three back surgeries. Yep. And so they keep giving him pills, and he keeps taking them, and he's in pain, and he's barely alive. I mean, he is back for another episode of this, and you get the feeling he'll be on every episode of this show that happens.
And he binged for a couple of weeks, yep. I think, before this started.
I watched the first episode. The one that Kevin's going to recap for us is episode number two. But in the first episode, Dr. Drew says, I knew as Jeff Conaway was walking out the door last season that he would be back. And yep. nobody was surprised to see him because the dude is just a mess.
But the guy that's the most fascinating is Gary Busey, because Gary Busey is crazy.
He's crazy all the time.
He's a 60-year-old actor, would you say?
Probably, yeah.
60? He was in, what was he in, Bean, so people can identify him?
Well, the Buddy Holly story was the one that was a big break for him, that he got nominated for an Oscar. But he's been in he's been in a ton of movies. Was he just in Tropic Thunder this summer, for instance? I mean, that was probably the latest thing that he did that people saw. But he's just been one of those guys who's worked steadily ever since then without any other big breakout roles. But he is definitely crazy.
He's crazy, and he's got problems with alcohol, but weed, mm-hmm. and he has had coke problems his whole life. Well, he's the guy who's the most fascinated because he doesn't think he's there as a patient. He thinks he's there as a doctor. In the first episode, he said, I'm going to be working shoulder to shoulder with Dr. Drew to help out these people who really need it, because I'm clear and clean. And Dr. Drew tries to convince him he's still a patient, and he's like, no, I don't have a problem anymore. I'm good.
My sobriety is
safe. My sobriety is safe, he said. So the whole first episode was Dr. Drew trying to talk him into the fact that he was actually a patient as well, and him not listening. Well, the second episode, Gary Busey is, he talks to all of the people there, and he hits on the girls incessantly. And he started out the episode by asking a girl if she can make a bird whistle. This was his conversation starter. Mm-hmm. You know how to whistle like a bird? And she says, no. And that leads him into... And I thought to myself, that was how we acted in second grade?
Maybe.
maybe first grade when you're trying to impress somebody doing a bird whistle?
It's so sad.
You're like, what is he doing? He's 60. 70. I don't know how old he is, but he's sitting there whistling like a bird.
He's just sitting there going, really?
Yeah. Just looking at him like, what is happening? I think if I were on this episode of Celebrity Rehab, honestly, I think Gary Busey would make me want to quit the show.
Absolutely.
He's in everybody's face. He's acting like he's so much better than everybody. Yep. He thinks he's the doctor. So Dr. Drew's a little bit worried that not only does he have a substance problem, but that he is crazy. And he brings in a psychologist, or psychiatrist. I don't know which one is which. But
I think it was a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist comes in and sits down with Gary Busey. And the psychiatrist is just going to try and figure out if he's got some kind of brain damage.
Just so you understand, I'm a doctor. I'm a psychiatrist here to evaluate you, see what else I can offer to this whole program.
Are you asking me a question?
No, I'm telling you who I am.
Are you asking me a question? It was odd because he just introduced himself. So then he asks him about surgeries because they have to figure out the whole brain surgery. Does he have brain problems from that?
Any surgeries ever?
Brain surgery?
Or?
For brain. What? The brain.
Yeah. Brain surgeries? For what?
The doctor was wondering why you needed brain surgery. He's looking for, I was in a motorcycle accident and almost lost my head.
He was looking at the psychiatrist like, what kind of fool are you? It was for my brain. So he's back and he doesn't know he's a patient yet. And I thought that this would be solved like halfway through the first episode.
Yeah, me too.
But it's not. And the other thing he likes to do is the anagram. He likes to say words and then he tells you what every single letter stands for. And somebody has convinced him along the way that this is his insight to share with the world. This is really his brilliance. Mm-hmm. He's going to write a book about it, he told us, last week. So the psychiatrist continues talking to
him. I have what's called angelic interventions to straighten me out when I'm not thinking clearly.
Good for you. Do you listen to them?
Oh, I listen to them. I feel it. I taste it. I am it.
Good.
I am it?
So he is it, and then he thinks, I am it? And that seems weird to him. But then he launches right into...
You know what anger stands for?
What?
Another... negative grievance explaining rage.
Absolutely. So how do you handle your rage?
So the doctor's going with it.
Sure.
Doctor's like, okay, absolutely, that's what it stands for.
You brought it up.
Let's talk about your rage.
I don't have rage.
Ever?
No.
Do you ever get irritated?
No.
Aggressive?
No.
What emotions do you have? Loving, how would you describe them?
Loving, kindness, grace, understanding, starting every conversation with a compliment, considering other people's feelings first before I consider mine.
Come on, he's the best human being ever.
Do you remember in the first episode how rude he was when they wanted to take his cell phone away?
Oh, yeah, he got angry that first episode.
He was angry and irritated.
So I think he's trying to just convince the doctor that he's one of the doctors or something, because but you got to be crazy to go, I'm never irritable.
Yeah, come on.
I've never been irritated. The only thing I am is love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, talk about self-delusion. So the doctor asks him what he hopes to get out of being on Celebrity Rehab. And again, he's holding to the same, I am one of the healers.
Well, what I'm hoping to get out of is the knowledge that I help these people get clean and clear and acknowledge the truth. Stands for taking real understanding to heart.
Why does he keep doing that?
I don't know. He's pushing his book, I guess.
Taking real understanding to heart.
Because that's my purpose here. I'm not a patient. I'm a participant.
Okay, so he's still not a patient.
All right.
Okay, but tell me the psychiatrist tells him he is a patient.
They try in a variety of different ways. Gary will not have it. He is not a patient. He really is there to heal.
They're not going to tell him directly because he'll leave. He's threatened it. He said, if you think I'm here as a patient, I'm leaving.
Right, but at some point, and we thought this was going to be during the first episode, we figured they would have to convince him he's a patient because if he doesn't know he's a patient, he's not going to get better either. But Jeff Conaway, not to be outdone, realizes that Busey's stealing the show, so Jeff steps up, and he's crazy as well. He's been on drugs most of his life, and he's got the back surgery I told you about. His girlfriend is in the same hospital, another ward, trying to get clean.
Right.
And he's on the phone to his girlfriend. Now, this is a bizarre scene because Gary Busey is sitting right in front of Jeff Conaway. Jeff Conaway is on the phone to his girlfriend. He's talking to his girlfriend. He's not talking to Gary Busey at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Gary Busey won't shut the hell up and keeps talking to him as if he is. So he's making little comments and stuff while Conaway is starting to complain about the people. They're not helping him. They're not. He might have to leave. It's not worth the pain, blah, 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 just like he did last year.
Yep.
And Busey is in front of him. You just want to punch Busey right in the face.
No, it's not.
Pain is not going to go away.
Yes, it will.
Okay, so he's he's talking on the phone, but Busey's sitting right there going, yes, it will.
Okay, please.
Jeff, gut her down, man. You're tough. You're talented. You got a force of nature that can't be beat.
Please stop arguing with me, Gary.
I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you what the truth is.
What did you say?
Okay, so now he's back on the phone, and he's asking her what she said.
They're not being of any help at all.
I'm being very helpful to you.
No, not you, Gary. You know, come on. It's not all about you.
I know it's not. You're fighting to get sick again or stay sicker. And we don't want that. And you don't want it.
Can I have a little privacy?
Take it easy.
Take it easy. That always works with people that are getting irate.
For sure.
Hey, take it easy.
Hey, just calm down.
I wasn't talking to you. Leave me alone.
Okay. Does he not realize that Jeff's on the phone?
He doesn't care.
Okay.
He has no filter, we've discovered.
None whatsoever. Yes. And he first, one right there, it was hard to hear, but he said, you were talking to me. And Conaway's like, no, I wasn't. And then he said, will you leave me alone, give me some privacy? And he goes, nope, can't do that. He won't stop trying to help. So then Jeff Conaway, very upset, talking to one of the therapists about how he's having a lot of pain. He doesn't think it's worth it, and it's time for him to throw his tantrum.
It ain't worth it. I don't want to feel this pain.
Okay. You're just going to have to be patient for a minute.
Patient my ass.
Huh?
911!
Now, I didn't know that's how it worked, but apparently you don't have to pick up the phone. You can just shout that.
Okay.
You don't have to pick up the phone and dial 911. You just go 911 and somebody's supposed to show up. He didn't make a move for a phone. He didn't ask for a phone.
I like it.
All right.
He just shouted 911 at the top of his lungs.
I'm going to try that to get some carrot cake.
So then near the end of the show, Gary Busey is talking about some kind of therapist that gave him, I don't know what it was, a massage or something. He was trying to talk some of the other girls into getting it done. And the cameraman was filming him, and he got very, very angry with the cameraman and said, stop filming me. Of course, that's part of the show, is
yes, that they everything. Get filmed.
So he says, no, stop, stop. And Gary Busey walks up and rushes the cameraman, and you hear the cameraman responding to him.
No. No. Hey, man.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. He stands up, and he starts walking right toward the cameraman.
Oh, jeez.
Cut.
Stop it, Gary. Back off.
I'm in control of this, man.
Just doing my f-ing job, man.
Just doing my effing job, man. He's like putting his hand on the camera, shoving the guy back.
Gary's putting moves on women. He doesn't want anyone recording it.
And it was nothing personal. I mean, it was he was just talking about some kind of a help, yeah. You know? It had nothing to do with his personal life or his secrets. But he decided the cameras were supposed to be finished, and he started rushing the guy.
Wow.
Just doing my effing job, man. Yeah. The cameraman's all scared.
I would be, too.
So the end of the episode, you hear Gary Busey running into his room and saying,
I'm done.
Slams the door shut. He's out.
So he's going to try to quit next week, we think?
Well, yeah. I mean, they made it sound like he was quitting right that second, but yeah. We don't know yet. That was the
Damn
last
it.
Scene.
Damn
okay.
it.
I'm done. You know why? They were filming him. They had the gall nerve. To film him.
Certainly a place for him doing news on the Kevin and Bean Show, I'll tell you that.
We would hire him in a second, wouldn't we? That would be.
I love that there are going to be people tomorrow who forget to vote. After 2 years of hearing nothing but this election,
wait a
it's
minute.
Finally going to be here tomorrow, and people are going to forget about
There's
it.
There's an election tomorrow?
Oh, here we go.
Why haven't we seen anything about that?
I'm excited about it being over, and I'm sure most people are. If for no other reason, you don't have to hear the proposition commercials on the radio anymore. But I really knew that it was time for this campaign to draw to a close tomorrow for president. When I saw the story on the news this weekend about the woman in Michigan
yep.
who was only giving out Halloween candy to John McCain supporters. Little kids who showed up and were asked who your family's voting for, and they said Obama, were sent away saying, Obama's scary enough. You don't get any candy. Get off my lawn, kids.
Oh, my God.
Little four-year-old princess being punished because their parents are not voting the right way.
Well, those kids usually dictate how their family votes, so they haven't, you know.
What an idiotic woman.
Wow.
That indicated to me that perhaps it's time just to cool down a little bit, and whoever wins, let's just go with it, okay? But I guess there are still some people out there who are undecided. I guess there are still some people who are very passionate about some of the issues on the ballot. And Psycho Mike, tell people what you did this weekend.
On Saturday, I went down to Norwalk where there was a place you could...
it's the only place.
Yeah, do some early voting, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you'd registered in a certain way, you can go and vote early.
Sure.
So I went down and I talked to some people who had just voted, some people who were about to vote. And then I also went around for the rest of the weekend, you know, just kind of getting the vibe from other people about how they were going to vote for the presidency and also on all these different wacky propositions.
Here's the thing
on.
About people and elections. The people who care a great amount.
Yes.
Yeah. And they do not want to be interviewed by somebody who doesn't have a good grasp of the issues.
Yeah.
Now, Mike does that on purpose, and he starts messing them all up, and the people go crazy. They do not like him at all because they're afraid everybody's going to hear it, and they're going to think it's something else. Listen, don't fire off emails to us after this. Do your own research. This is just for comedy. But Psycho Mike interviewing people about their voting.
How are you voting on Proposition 8?
I believe in monogamy, commitment, and all people should have the same equal rights. People want to marry, they should marry.
Gays want to be married like us and their whole life. More power to them.
Go on 8.
And why is that?
The purpose of democracy is not to have special laws to discriminate against certain people.
I think everybody has the right to do whatever they want.
I think homosexuals are perverts, to tell you the truth.
I believe gay marriage dilutes out the significance of real marriage.
Are you a married man?
I have been 3 times.
If there's any prop that we should vote for, it should be maybe to knock off some jail time for these drug dealers.
Now, why are you personally concerned with what drug dealers have to do?
No comment.
Would you vote for president and why?
McCain. I believe that this guy is going to help defend the country, and that's what's concerning to me.
He wants to bring some change into this world. He wants to bring some change in how the politics actually goes about.
Obama, because that girl that McCain's with is a bimbo, and he's about to die, so I don't want her as the commander-in-chief.
Not a big Palin fan?
I'm a total sexist, actually.
You just don't like that she's a woman?
That's correct. I've seen women do some very nutty stuff. Illogical things that a man would never do.
I am not voting for anybody because I don't really like what's going on in this election.
Who are you voting for on Tuesday?
Obama.
And why is that?
He's a Democrat.
Would you vote for anybody that ran on the Democratic ticket regardless of their policies?
Probably.
I do not want Joe Sixpack and Joe the Plumber and a hockey mom running this country.
Well, I like that he's liberal on social issues as well. I like that he wants to make health care available for everybody.
Obama is more likely to stop the war in Iraq.
That's your big issue?
I think so.
He's a social reformer, and he's also a civil rights advocate, and I'm an amputee, and I've been turned down for Social Security twice and can't get my pension.
Proposition number 2 is going to promote a little bit more humane care for farm animals here in California. How do you feel about that?
Probably vote yes on that.
Yes, I'm a vegetarian. I love animals, and that's awesome.
I'm voting yes on the same issue.
Is it the crack cocaine one?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to vote no on 2 because it's a travesty to take perfectly good cocaine and make it into rocks.
Proposition 11 is going to make it legal for incest in California.
You're wrong. You're misspeaking the propositions. Excuse me.
What is Proposition 11?
Proposition 11 does. Unless you've got the document to show me, this discussion shouldn't be happening. Show me where it says that.
In the booklet.
Where, no, it does not.
Pretty sure.
Where is it? Show me.
It's in my brain.
Well, go, no.
I think incest is legal.
No, it's not.
Who are you voting for on Tuesday and why?
McCain, because I like his stance on abortion and all that stuff.
Who are you going to vote for on Tuesday?
Obama.
Be honest, does it help that he's more attractive than John McCain?
No, it's not.
Do you have a hard time at all casting a vote for a black man?
No, not at all.
Would you have a hard time casting a vote for a senior citizen?
No.
How do you feel about Proposition 10, which would lower the age of consent to 10 years old?
To 10?
Yeah.
No, I'd be against that.
For sex?
Oh, that's wrong.
I really like 10-year-olds, but no. I would have to say no.
He's voting no on 10.
Wow, I hadn't even heard any advertising about that 10. I got to look into that one. That sounds
a controversial issue.
Yeah, no kidding. Sounds rough.
The dude who wanted to protect marriage had been married three times.
That is priceless.
That doesn't dilute marriage at all.
No.
Dude wanted to vote to knock off prison time for drug dealers. Is that even an issue? And can you write that in?
Well, God knows I have
Mike
no
made
idea.
That one up.
Women do weird things that men would never do. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, we're emotional. Holla.
That's Beans Buddy.
That is Beans Buddy, yeah. And the woman who liked John McCain because of his stance on abortion and all that stuff.
And all that stuff, yes.
That was very
They're voting.
Their vote counts as much as yours.
It's a half hour from right now, a complete recap of the Kevin and Bean spooky singles party, including the video of the confessional booth and a whole entirely separate video on one of our interns. Blinky.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah.
Plus, Lisa, your boyfriend, Laird Hamilton, is going to be back on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 7 o'clock hour this morning talking about his new book called The Force of Nature. That's a guy who made some sort of deal with the devil to have the world's greatest life. I don't know how he does it, but wow.
You're not kidding.
You look at his book. Well, we'll talk to him about it when he gets in here, but you look at his book, and it looks like a catalog. I mean, they look like catalog models, don't they?
Yeah, it's totally. BS. You're right. It's BS. He's a big wave surfer. He's good looking. He's got all – there's too much.
Married to Gabby Reese, the world's most beautiful, perfect children. He does it all.
If you weren't so hot, I'd hate him.
Whatever with him. All right. Let's talk to a K-Rock winner, James Schutz. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
James won our contest to have Rise Against play his garage. And before we find out how the show was, James, what happened with your garage to begin with? It was too full, or you didn't have one? You're living in a condo? What?
Yeah, we live in a condo. The garage was the right size and everything, but we live in an association, and I didn't want to take the risk of getting kicked out.
Okay, so you went to a friend's house?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did it at my friend's house.
And he wouldn't clean out his garage, if I heard correctly.
No, he was going to clean out the garage, but they just decided to do it in the driveway instead because he has a driveway.
I'd love to know the statistics on the number of people who cannot park in their garage in this country. I mean, I know that I can't. I know that I can't, for instance.
It's probably way high. Yeah.
I mean, you have a garage for your car, yet you fill it up with all your crap, and then you end up parking outside.
So the plan was to have Rise Against play in the driveway.
Yeah.
But then what happened?
Well, they got there, they showed up and everything, and set up everything, so K-Rock took hours to set up and stuff.
Yeah.
And it ended up that, well, they did their sound checks, and then it ended up that Tim could not sing.
Lead singer had throat trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they pulled me back. They're like, so we're not going to do it.
But here's what's cool.
Left it there for a while.
But here's what's cool about it, though. I can imagine that was probably a pain in the ass, but he showed up, which I'm really surprised. I mean, I think if I were a rock star and I had, what, three shows this weekend?
Yep.
Think I would have called and said, look, we got to reschedule. I'm sorry. I can't do anything. But they showed up, they sound checked, and then what happened?
Well, once they took me back and told me that they couldn't do it, they ended up telling me that, hey, look, we're going to take you and 19 of your friends and give you guys VIP passes backstage and everything to the concert later on.
That's so cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wow.
In fact, it's maybe way better.
Yeah.
So they didn't play in your driveway, but they hung out with you for a while and had coffee.
Yeah. So we got to meet them and everything, got everything signed, and then we got a shuttle bus down to their concert later that night.
That is awesome. So,
and you went backstage, you hung out. That was pretty cool. And how many friends were you able to rustle up at the last second?
There was 19. We had a little bit too many, but, you know, we had to not let a couple go.
Sure.
So
they'll never talk to you again.
Those guys in Rise Against, you had a chance to hang out with them at your friend's house. Super cool dudes, right?
Oh, yeah. Those guys are amazing. They're so awesome.
They really are.
And everything.
They're cool guys, and you would think they would just cancel and reschedule, but they show up, they give them passes, the whole deal. So
it turned out actually really good.
Turned out okay. Yeah. It probably was a better experience than had they played your driveway.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I got to meet other bands, too, at the concert, so.
That's great.
What'd you think of the show, by the way?
Oh, that show was amazing. We got to watch it. We were standing on stage with them when we were watching it, so.
Wow.
It was just an amazing concert.
So you're saying you think Tim was lying about not being able to sing at your house because he sure sounded good last night, right?
Exactly.
All right, well, congratulations on winning. We're glad that they were able to come through in some way that was satisfactory to you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Especially considering they were sick.
So, James, you would say you are yet another satisfied K-Rock listener?
Indeed, I am.
Even though we didn't deliver like we said we would.
Come on.
How do we continue to do it? We continue
like
to disappoint, and they still like it. That's what I thought they were saying for 6 months, and then I realized it was Feels Good.
Feels Good.
I didn't even know that.
Wow.
The whole time.
Thank you. 6:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Big Wave Surfer Laird Hamilton in the 8 o'clock hour. Excuse me, in the 7 o'clock hour, coming right up. Plus, we'll have a recap of the Halloween singles party from Friday night. Indiana Jones is here now with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
I was rocking some indie.
I realized I
left my crystal skull in the car about halfway through the party.
Oh, really? That one?
Had you brought one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So, well, that one sucked anyway. I should have brought the Lost Ark or something cooler, so I'm probably glad I left that behind. But before I get to the showbiz news, I want to mention, if you are a movie fan like myself, that the AFI Film Festival is still going on. AFI, of course, means the American Film Institute, and they have got the best of American and world cinema going on now through November the 9th. 151 different movies from 38 different countries, as well as panels and receptions and special events that you can only see thanks to AFI, including screenings of Steven Soderbergh's new movie, Shay, which I think is about Shea Stadium before they imploded it. I think they did a whole movie about the history of Shea Stadium.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm guessing that's not it.
H.
Yeah.
I think it's Shea Guevara. I think it's that dude.
You know, it's a four-hour movie?
What?
I read it.
It's a big life.
Weekly.
It's a big life, Lisa.
Well, how about some editing?
For a week, they're going to show the whole movie with a half-hour break, and then after that, they're going to break it up into two different movies. But they'll be playing at the same time.
Kevin will go when they break it into 400 five-minute movies.
Yes, he will.
5 minutes at a time is all I can handle.
And Darren Aronofsky's new movie, The Wrestler, which looks great as well. If you'd like more information, you can go to AFIFest.com. And you can buy tickets there and find out more information and stuff. But if you're a movie fan and you like to see movies that you can't see anyplace else, it's a great opportunity for you. Speaking of movies, top 10 at the box office this weekend, High School Musical 3 Senior Year, still number one at the box office. $15 million it made this week. High School
Musical. Yeah, we don't need the...
Come on.
It's the best part we've ever known. We don't need to play the music.
It only made $15 million, Ralph? That's kind of disappointing.
For who?
It made 45 last week.
I expected it to do better. That's all.
Everyone who wanted to possibly go see that movie should have already gone. Now leave us be. Leave us alone.
That's true. That's a good observation.
The freaking High School Musical. Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Our buddy Kevin Smith did very well for himself this weekend. $10.7 million in its opening weekend.
That scene you were talking about, Ralph, will never leave my mind.
Most disturbing / funny scene ever in a comedy.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't oversell it.
Nope.
That's saying something, by the way.
It was not... it was funny.
It was funny, but at the same time...
You wish you hadn't seen it.
Yes, it's a little cringeworthy.
But funny.
Saw 5 was number 3. Changeling, the new Angelina Jolie movie directed by Clint Eastwood, came in number 4 in its debut weekend, making about 10 mil. The Haunting of Molly Hartley was number 5. Rebecca Hill's Chihuahua was 6. Secret Life of Bees, Max Payne, Eagle Eye, Pride and Glory rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sometimes there's a downside to being a movie star.
Sure.
Such is the case with Sacha Baron Cohen, who, while filming another scene for his new movie, Bruno, the follow-up to, of course, Borat. Bruno is a gay German journalist who is, he's Austrian, actually. He's a gay fashion journalist who has been doing gags since Sasha's show, The Ali G Show. He's doing a feature film where he's going around and just pretty much bugging people. you know, as a gay journalist.
He's fighting people who are super turned off and
super
homophobic and kind of pushing their buttons.
Right. He showed up at a Yes on Prop 8 rally this weekend here in Los Angeles, dressed as Bruno. And he was protesting, and he had a sign and everything. But when he got there, everyone started to recognize him and realized who he was.
Really?
Oh,
that ruins it.
So they all started laughing and coming around asking for autographs and photos. And his crew was trying to keep those people at a distance so he could blend in and cause some ruckus.
That's getting harder and harder for him to do.
Because he's getting more and more well-known. Yeah, so they pretty much whisked him away in a van when they realized it wasn't going to play. But so we're getting... You know, we're losing our opportunity to see more of Sacha Baron Cohen because more and more people are starting to figure out his his shtick. So,
we remember when the movie Borat was so big, we thought, well, that's it. He can never do Borat again. But now this character is already so popular before the movie comes out that he's having trouble blending in.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was bummed to see that happen. It's funny because he's holding a sign. I'm just looking at the photo here. It looks like something about maybe he's agreeing with their protesters, you know, don't let them marry even though they're very nice. But he spells it the way the Austrian speaks. So it's like sehr nice. It's written with a Z on the sign. He's the best.
He is the best.
This is a great story. Remember how we were saying that the Brits are soft on drug crimes?
Yeah. Seems like they don't do much.
Amy Winehouse has been in and out of police offices where they just want to have a conversation with her about her drug use. Well, a couple that sold drugs to Amy Winehouse pled guilty in British courts over the weekend. Apparently, the British couple who sold drugs to Amy Winehouse, including cocaine and ecstasy, had to plead guilty because, geniuses that they are, Johnny Blogrove and Cara Burton, filmed Amy using their drugs after they sold them to her, and then sold that footage to a British tabloid newspaper.
Okay. Which was used as proof against them?
Yes.
But not against her.
They sell the drugs to Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
They film her smoking what appears to be crack.
Right.
They sell that footage to the Sun newspaper. Detectives decide it's not enough evidence to charge Amy Winehouse, but there is enough evidence to investigate the couple that shot the footage and sold it to the newspaper. They raid their house and find a list of celebrities that they sell drugs to, as well as drugs.
Wow.
And so they have pled guilty. The judge ordered the couple to return on November the 28th for sentencing in the case. But how stupid can you be if you're doing something illegal to film your customers and then try to make a profit on it?
Yeah, they have it coming.
They should go to jail just for felony stupidity.
For being dumb.
Yep.
But Amy still walks away.
Yep.
To smoke another day. God bless her. Avril Lavigne and her husband, Derek Whibley, are in counseling. Apparently, they're having some troubles, but they're dedicated to working them out. So, good luck, I guess.
They've had a pretty low-profile marriage since they hooked up a few years ago. Don't hear too much about them together.
More relationship news. DJ AM and Mandy Moore are apparently moving fast. After rediscovering their relationship after DJ AM's brush with death in that plane crash, Star Magazine's reporting that the couple's moving in together.
Wow.
So they can be together more, and Mandy can help him get healthy, too. So
fantastic.
Kind of, yeah, get healthy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
DJ AM was at our party, by the way, Friday night. If you saw he was the one-on-ones.
He was spinning. He sure was.
You think he would have changed his clothes after the crash?
Because
he looked pretty singed. Looks like he could have used a new set of clothing there. He was burned up.
Omar as DJ AM.
What?
That was one of the few costumes that you saw it. You went, too soon?
Very tasteful.
You trying to tell me that wasn't the real Amy Winehouse either at the party?
That was
Lisa. That was our own beautiful Lisa Day.
Doing
actually.
Lines of blow off some guys.
That was
Lisa as
that
well.
That was just baby powder.
Oh, I see.
By the way, Lisa went all out this year.
She really did.
She did it up.
A full-blown costume.
Yes, I did.
Had a syringe around her neck, a bottle of Jack Daniels, the big beehive, the makeup, the powder on the face.
Get
she looked great.
Was actually doing drugs to help convince
she
people
was.
She was Amy Winehouse.
I was committed to my role.
Yes, you were. You're a method actress.
Doing coke all night.
I was doing meth.
Sorry, meth all night.
I got to say, all of the Kevin and Bean show really, I think, put a lot of effort in their costumes, except for Mike, who everybody thought he just dressed normally. When Mike showed up in the gay sailor suit, everybody was like, where's his costume? Like, haven't we seen him in that a bunch of times before,
said,
just at regular K-Rock events?
I'm a gay sailor.
I wore it to Rise Against last night.
Oh, trust me. I got the emails. I got to read the email next hour. I'll bring it in. About a guy who said, everyone, Mike was on stage trying to get everyone riled up, but everyone was just preoccupied by how gay he was and didn't really get too excited.
I did my on stage as the gay sailor. I just didn't reference it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, supermodel Gemma Ward.
He's 21 years old today. Comedian and actor Dennis Miller turns 55. Roseanne Barr is 56. And Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV, Drago, is 51 years old today. And you know, if you can change.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can change.
Right.
I think we can all change.
Yay!
It's an important lesson we learned from that film. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So did I leave too early once again? Is that what happened Friday night at the Spooky Singles Halloween party? Because, I mean, the party was going off when I left, but apparently I saw nothing.
What time did you leave?
It was around 11.
Yes, you left too early.
Tiny Dancer wasn't even at the party yet when I left, apparently. Oh. She showed up, right?
She got there. She was Marilyn Monroe.
She looked awesome.
And her roommate was Audrey Hepburn, remember. I think. Yeah. Or something.
Yes.
Wow.
And she kissed Miss Cleo's boobs.
Tiny Dancer did? Intern Tiny Dancer and Miss Cleo together?
I noticed,
for one night only?
I noticed the lipstick, and I didn't see it, so we had to recreate it again, and that was good.
Let me just say a few words before we hear some of the tape and tell you some of the stories from the Spooky Singles Party. And by the way, you can call us if you were at the party and you have anything you want to add, 1-800-520-1067. We went out of our way this time. We've done a lot of singles parties in the past. We went out of our way this time to say, look, Halloween is K-Rock's holiday. This is the party. And we don't want any duds there. We want people who are bringing it. We want people who are ready to drink. We want people who are ready to party. We want people who are seriously looking for action. And I'd have to say, score. I'd have to say, people really took that to heart, and they showed up ready to go.
Yes, they did.
You think this crowd, I mean, more so than, you know, a lot of the singles parties you go to, it takes a long time for people to kind of get warmed up and get some courage going to actually interact. There were really people getting into it at the party.
I thought this was the most enjoyable crowd we've had at a singles party, at least since I've been around it. There were so many cool people there, and like Bean said, as soon as they walked in the door, it was time to party.
Yeah.
There was it was halfway through time to party, by the way.
They started earlier.
It was clear they had started early.
Yeah.
And I didn't get there till about 10, but then when I left at 1:30 after Blinky, our intern had been thrown out twice or three times. I don't know. There's video up, too, by the way, at KRock.com. If you want to go to the video page, you can click on the confessional booth that some random dude named McCabe ran for us, saying he worked for us. And you'll see Miss Cleo. Dressed as a candy striper.
That's pretty amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Miss Cleo's costume was one of the most unbelievable. You know, Laird Hamilton, our guest coming up, his book is called Force of Nature. Screw you, Laird Hamilton. The force of nature was what kept Miss Cleo's boobs in her top on Friday night. Like, what? How was that thing constructed?
Can I play a call for you from the Afro line?
Yes.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Dean. This is Miss Cleo calling. I just left the singles party, and may I just say, I am drunk.
Uh-oh. Thanks for the update.
I said, you called the Everline. She said, what? She didn't remember she called
Everline. Oh,
no. So that's good. And then, is this Blinky?
Yes.
The Afro?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Blinky, which we're going to have to tell you about in more depth an hour from now, because he was really, 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 really drunk.
One of our interns.
It was not good. I mean, there was throw up involved. There was being kicked out.
Oh,
it was a lot of bad stuff.
Hey, it's Blinky. I'm really sick, and I don't even know where I am, but there's a dog barking at me, and McCabe hates me, but McCabe's awesome. I don't even know why. He freaking hates me, man. Like, it was one time, I swear. That he just, like, he just announced the whole week. It was one time, and he seriously, like, hates me for it. And then my wife's yelling at me, and she's chasing me. I want to puke so bad.
What was he talking about?
When he first walked into the party, he came up to McCabe, and he's like, hey, when you solicit for the, or you sell for the upcoming Kevin and Bean shows, you read it off the internet, and you sell for the whole week, not for just that show. Ha, 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 ha. And McCabe's sitting there going, oh, okay.
Really?
Who are you, by the way?
Yeah, he came up to me first thing and said, you always ignore me at work.
Oh, no.
It was the first words that had been spoken between us. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm working.
That's awesome.
He was out of his mind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wasn't there a couple making a baby at the party at one point?
There was a couple in the corner, and they were just they were just taking care of business right there.
Sure.
They just figured, why wait? Why have to go get in a car, drive anywhere else? Let's just make things happen.
When the
right
mood strikes.
Yes.
Right.
On the dance floor.
On the dance floor, they're doing that.
Well, in the corner, near the dance floor. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want her to know where I live, so I don't want to take her home. So I'll just take care of it here.
Maybe they couldn't wait. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it did happen. And that was a good, and it was relatively early in the evening, considering.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, those people were ready to go.
That's a party.
Well, tell them to be, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. I don't think our intention was that they were going to hook up right there at the party. We thought maybe they'd, you know, prime the pump and hook up later. Tell me about the world's worst hype man that showed up Friday night.
King of Mexico was the hype man up with DJ AM, which was DJ Omar's costume.
Mm-hmm.
And King of Mexico, for some reason, was smashed. He was dressed as Haley from Paramore. He had this weird pink wig, and he had a beard and the fingerless gloves. It was really creepy. And he just got up there on the mic, and he just started screaming about woman's boobs. Show me your boobs. I'll give you some tickets. And then he started rapping with all the songs that Omar was playing.
Oh,
and
Lord.
It was just...
So glad I missed that.
It was not good. Remember when we said he was the best hype man ever?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Turns out he's not.
Aww.
And it was ugly. And he was walking around, handing out tickets and yelling and getting back on the mic and having dance contests and yelling about Miss Cleo. And
Drunk Dave is fun.
He was making promises he couldn't keep either. He's like, I get you a Winnie Rose ticket.
Well, we do have a bunch of new video that are up at KROQ.com in the Kevin and Bean section, including the stuff that was shot in the confessional booth that we have at all of our parties. We also have some video, I guess, of intern Blinky doing it with the floor.
Yeah, it was a behind the music on him, a separate one.
And we also have a bunch of pictures from the Kevin and Bean Spooky Singles Party, so you can see the costumes that we were wearing, costumes that our listeners were wearing. And we had a costume contest online over the weekend where you could call and vote for which costume you thought was the winner. And we're going to call that winner right now and give him $1,000.
Nice.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi.
It's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
We are good. We're calling you to tell you that you won the costume contest. And $1,000.
No way.
How about that?
Congratulations.
Explain to people what your costume was.
I was Rainbow Bright.
Which was an animated TV series from the 80s, right?
Correct. I'm a girl of the 80s.
Where did that come from? How did you come up with that idea? And tell folks who maybe can't envision it what your costume looked like.
It had a lot of rainbows. I had armbands, leggings over some boots. I had a bright flashing star wand. It was a cartoon from the 80s that I absolutely loved. And anybody who didn't understand the costume obviously was too young.
Obviously some people didn't. But when we put the pictures up over the weekend for the K-Rock listeners to vote on, they picked you the best costume.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I can't believe that. I was not expecting it.
Were you able to find the sphere of light with your majestic white horse known as Starlight while you were at the party?
Of course. I fought Murky Dismal like crazy.
I have no idea what you people are talking about right now.
He was my arch nemesis.
Arch nemesis. Okay. All right.
Well, $1,000. Plus, I hope you had a good time at the party, too.
I did. It was wonderful. It was the first time I've ever been to anything like that, so it was great.
Did you see the couple having sex on the dance floor?
No.
Yeah, it was good. Just checking.
I would have liked to see that. That would have been very interesting.
Did you meet anyone at the party? It was a singles party, after all.
Well, my girlfriend met someone.
Yes.
And she had some fun with him. We actually saw him the next night, too. And I met a girlfriend. He was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I like the way
now
that's
we're talking.
Said. Okay. Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw her. She was Little Red Riding Hood. She was a really nice girl.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, it was a great time Friday night, and congratulations to you once again, the costume contest winner. Thanks to everybody who went to KROQ.com and voted over the weekend. You've won yourself $1,000. Congratulations, Woo-hoo! Rainbow Bright. And
awesome.
Hang on. We'll give you all the information off the air, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you for dressing up. Laird Hamilton.
As you know, if you've been listening to the program for a while, Monday is Book Club Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're happy to say the book that is has been written by Laird Hamilton is called Force of Nature. Laird is going to be at the Barnes & Noble at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica tonight at 7 o'clock signing copies. Please welcome Laird Hamilton back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Laird.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. It's been a couple of years. You know, you and I have something in common. My friends call me Lard Hamilton, so
very
close.
So very similar, different. I think.
Anyway, so you got yourself a real book.
Yeah, I mean, considering I didn't graduate from high school, it's kind of remarkable.
Let's talk now about you growing up to be a big wave surfer. Talk about, because I was reading some of your bio, and it sounds like your dad abandoned you at an early age, and you had some bad jobs, you quit high school. How did you turn out to be anything?
Well, the story. But
it sounds like everything that your parents would warn you against doing, you did.
Pretty much. My mom was happy that I made it to 16 and 17. And
she thought you were going to die.
Every year, she was, 21 was like the unforeseeable future that, yeah. I'm a creature of circumstances and just, and had the fortune to kind of have that one thing in your mind that tells you things aren't dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just lived in probably the best place in the world to become a big wave surfer, which was Hawaii.
Right.
So it was kind of like all the things came together. It took me to be about 30 years old before I really began to see my, potential.
When did you start surfing these gigantic waves that almost, what percentage of surfers would you say surf this big a wave?
Less than 1%.
Very, very few. And how big are the waves that you surf?
The last December 3rd, which I almost lost a friend on that day, it was we're saying over 80 foot to 100 foot faces.
Oh, right.
The fronts of them.
God.
So.
And I'm saying stop it. That's my reaction. 80 to 100 foot waves.
That's insane.
You get towed out by a jet ski, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you have to have skis just because as waves get bigger, they just move faster and faster. So a 30-foot wave moves at about 25, and an 80-foot wave probably moves at 45 or 50. So it's just
you can't get out there.
Yeah, you're a little bit like a deer in the headlight. So it's you need some sort of mechanical and just for safe, for the safety aspect of it.
What happened to your friend?
We got hit by a giant wave, and he split the back of his leg open. And you might like this part, you might not, but it was I had to tourniquet his leg, so all I had was a wetsuit, so I took my wetsuit off, and I was naked at that point. And,
I do like this part.
Tourniquet his leg, and then did like a naked landing on the beach. I had a little fanny pack, just loincloth thing. There was nothing on YouTube, but I was going to say it was a real cold day.
Yeah,
sure. It was really cold and stormy. But now, he was fortunately okay, and...
Wow, good. That's scary.
In the middle of the book, there's a picture of all of your injuries. This looks like a lifetime of misery. How many stitches? How many broken bones?
Yeah, I've had over 1,000 stitches, no operations. I had actually my first knee operation last 2 years ago. That was my first real, but just a lot of cuts growing up. A lot of
separated shoulder,
with
ribs.
Cane knives and reef cuts, boards. A lot of. I can remember my dad saying, if you get cut one more time, I'm going to beat you. And then I got cut the next day, and I hit it. And then my mom found some bloody socks, and she said, well, where's this cut? And I go, oh, it's really not anything. She goes, let's see it. And then my dad said, if you ever get cut and don't show us, I'm going to beat you. So pretty much, I was getting beat a lot.
Sounds like it. Now, is one of the reasons you wrote the book, Laird, you seem like such a positive, upbeat person, and it sounds like maybe one of the reasons you wrote the book is because you came from somewhat tough circumstances, and you were able to make something of your life because of a positive mental attitude and a willingness to try new things. And is that kind of if there is a central message from the book, is that what it is you're trying to tell people?
Yeah, the book is really like, I describe it as kind of a life manual. There's a bunch of different chapters about different parts of everyone's life, and I like David Miller says, this is my opinion. I could be wrong, of course, but these are my opinions. These are things that have worked for me. Just yesterday, if I come out of my house with a bad attitude, I just run right into somebody else with a bad attitude, and we can have a bad attitude together. It's like if you're looking for a fight, if you want to complain, somehow it seems like God always gives you a reason to complain. So
right.
It's sometimes if it's just that easy, it's a mental decision about hey, I want to be positive. I believe. I have an imagination. I think this is possible. Oh, my goodness. Wow, look what happened. So, or the vice versa. Oh, my gosh, my life's terrible. Everything's terrible. And then it's like, everything's terrible. Your life's terrible. So, you know, sometimes it's that simple. And it's kind of an opportunity for me to share some of my philosophies that go behind the success that I have been able to kind of enjoy. And it's that, you know, it takes a lot more. It's not just like everything's great and wow, look at how great, you know, my life is.
Just positive thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been able to have some great things happen, but it's been a lot of work and there's a lot of things that go into it. It's, you know, that old saying, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Right.
So
right.
End, it's about do the work and don't be surprised. People are like, oh, I'm overweight. Well, frickin' go train and watch your diet. You know, it's like, I mean, everybody wants a magic pill and a little potion and poof and everything's great. It's like, no, if you want to be successful or you want to achieve some goal, then set your mind to it and put the time in.
You're the opposite of being in every way.
Yes, that is true.
Physically, mentally, negative.
There's matter and antimatter.
He's antimatter, you're matter.
That's why we can't be in the same room, Larry. So before we take a break and come back more with our guests, it sounds like what you're saying is that people who don't accomplish what they'd like to accomplish in life, more often than not, it's because of something that they're doing. It's not the world or the man conspiring to keep them down. It's their own lack of effort, right?
Well, I always say that we are each our own greatest inhibitors. At the end of the day, we inhibit ourselves. We block ourselves from doing more things than anybody does. Now, granted, there's, you know, bad things fall on all people. So, you know, there's exceptions to every rule and there's an exception to every exception. But at the same time, you know, most of the time, yeah, just we're getting in the way of ourselves. We're stopping ourselves from achieving it or being ultimately just happiness. How about just happiness? That's the trickiest thing anybody has to do in their life is to figure out how to be happy. What do you need to do to be happy? I'll tell you, being healthy sure helps being happy.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
You know, being married to Gabby Reese probably helps being happy.
It does. That really can help me.
I had that on my list for a while, too, but that didn't work out.
I heard you're going to get in that long line of men that want to date her.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to try and split you from her, so I don't know how well that's going to go, but...
It's all grass at the end, remember?
The book is called Force of Nature. Laird Hamilton wrote – he's a big wave surfer, model, wrote the book. At least he's ugly. At least we've got that. Yeah, that's the only thing that really we can look to. At least he's ugly.
Yet, that's all.
He's going to be at Barnes & Noble at 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica tonight at 7 o'clock. Signing the book, I take for granted.
Yes.
And we'll take a quick break and come.
Every couple of years, we like to catch up with our friend Laird Hamilton. He is in the studio at K-Rock here this morning talking about his new book called Force of Nature. He'll be appearing at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica tonight at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble. Now, the book just came out. Have you done book signings for this one yet, Laird, or is this the first one?
No, I just started doing a couple. I did a couple. I did Pepperdine University, and I've done some. I did some stuff in New York, but I'm just starting. This will be the first one really on the West. I mean, the first really bookstore signing. Mm-hmm. So
have they been coming out after you for a long time to write a book about stuff, or is this just something that you came up with and decided you were going to pitch and try to get it made?
Well, the people, you know, like the lady that I work with that's managed me for a long time, she's been pushing for me to do something, and it was just, you know, we've done some films. It was just seemed like it was a good time to, you know, I have accumulation of all these photographs and all this other information, so it seemed like an opportune time to do something along these lines, you know, because it's really, this book really doesn't, if you see the book, there's not really many books like it. It doesn't really, it's nothing like any kind of, it's nothing like what you expect. You see it, it's a little bit like there's photos that, you know, a photo speaks 1,000 words, you know, I can tell you, yeah, 80-foot way, but when you see a picture, you're like, oh, I get it, 80-foot way.
Yeah, so, I get it, not to do it is what I get. Now, how far out are these waves sometimes? Are they miles out off the coast?
Well, there's a wave off Los Angeles that I've yet to go to that has been ridden a few times that's 125 miles offshore, straight out of, like,
really?
You know, like,
wow.
130 miles from this office right here.
Oh, my God.
You have the ocean.
You have to have seen sharks.
Absolutely.
I know I have a friend who was a hardcore surfer, and he spent his entire life in the water. He swears that a shark hit his foot one time. Mm-hmm. He didn't even see it, and he won't touch his foot to the water now. That's it. He was out, and he's not ever going back.
Yeah. Well, you know, we say the sharks you see are better than the ones you don't see.
Right,
so at the end of the day,
neither
when
are
you
good.
See them, you're like, okay, there they are. I mean, I've seen a couple big ones over the years. I can honestly say that I got an instinct. Like, I can feel when they're there. I know when they're there. I just feel it. I go, oh, yeah, he's around somewhere.
Do you get out?
I'll go in if I get it, if it's really, if it continues to be a real strong feeling. You know, I think it's something that we, that humans innately have. We've grown away from our instincts, but yeah. It's something that was for survival of the species. Like, you know, you needed to know that it was coming before it came so that we lived.
That instinct in me would be every single time I got in the water, I'd go, I don't know, I feel a shark, let's get out.
I was thinking about dolphins, and then I have a thing where my mom's passed away now, but whenever I think I see a shark, I picture my mom's face, and somehow sharks don't have the same power. Part of the reason why I do that is because the Hawaiians believe that the sharks are your amakua, which is that the spirits of your ancestors go into the sharks, and they're actually your protectors.
So it could be your mom.
Mom, she'd probably come bite my leg.
you in the book, you not only talk about your career, you talk about your life. You obviously mentioned the photos. There's also recipes in here. Is it you do your own cooking, Laird? Is that what this is about?
Well, I know how to cook, but I'm better at eating, though. So.
Okay. Really?
I'm a much better eater. But again, this book is a little bit like a manual for life. And I think a big part of a lot of the issues that we're facing in our country have to do with eating. I mean, eating, fitness,
sleeping. Just eat candy corn. That's all I eat is just candy corn. Would you say that's healthy or not healthy?
Well, it's, you know, if you're going to just sit sedentary and not move at all, it's probably fine.
Okay, that's good.
Then I'm right on.
How much of this big wave surfing is being in good shape? Is it the difference between drowning and not drowning? Is it, I mean.
Well, yeah, you're performing. You know, we say potato chips in is potato chips out. You eat garbage, you don't work out, you're going to perform like garbage. And the thing is about, you know, big wave riding is just going to, it's going to magnify your weaknesses. Anytime you're doing anything really extreme on the edge where it demands the best sense of smell, hearing, sight, all that physical ability. You know, that's it's going to show you your weaknesses. And if you want good performance, it's, you know, fitness is just, I mean, it's an essential part, and really longevity. I mean, just being able to keep doing it year in and year out, recover from, you know, injuries and on and on.
How long can you hold your breath, and have you ever thought you were not going to make it?
So far, I can hold it long enough. I've been able to hold it long enough. And, you know, breath holding really has a lot to do with your heart rate. So I have some training that I do specifically for breath holding with high heart rate. I do some pool training where I'm doing stuff underwater and getting a real high heart rate and holding your breath. You know, it's holding your breath for 30 seconds when your heart rate's at max seems like an hour.
It's forever.
I mean, that's like 5 minutes in your living room floor with the low heart rate. So there's a whole art to
it. But how do you not panic when a wave that big turns you up and kind of holds you down?
Well, part of it's been the experience of what panicking has done in the past. The times when you panicked, it's been you've used a lot more oxygen, so you start realizing, hey, panicking's not good, and you know when to stay calm. You know, hey, you know what? Right now, I always say it's the undervalued art of wiping out or crashing. You know, every sport guys are really good at wiping out, but you don't get rewarded for it because it's a mistake.
Right.
But football, basketball, any sport, the guy flies into the thing and you'd be like, anybody else did that, they'd be broken, they'd be in pieces, where these guys do it to get right back out, run back in, they're in the game again. So there's a whole, you know, it's an art to crashing well, staying calm, knowing when to relax, knowing when to fight.
I'm not as good at that art, I gotta be honest.
Well, that's good, you don't have experience.
The stuff that you've just described is so fascinating to me about how you handle the big pressure of a wave on top of you and know not to panic. Do you find yourself translating those same skills into your real life if you get into a stressful situation with a money situation or a marriage situation or a traffic situation or something like that? Are you able to kind of stay calm in the same way with the same skills?
No, that's when I blow it all out.
Road rage.
I save it all for the big wipeout when I really need to, and then the rest of the time, the insignificant stuff, I just lose my mind.
That's good to hear. You're not perfect, then, is what you're saying.
By the way, the L.A. Times article on your book, that was very, very flattering. Again, Force of Nature by Laird Hamilton is what we're talking about. It said that some of your favorite workouts described in the book might explode the heart of the average person. That makes me a little bit nervous. So not everyone should maybe try what you're trying.
Well, there's a certain level of it. Again, and, you know, instead of 10 reps, 1 rep, 2 reps. I mean, it's all geared to you. We just listen to yourself. Your body will tell you, hey, you're nearing an area this is rough. You'll feel faint or whatever. But I mean, we are, you know, pain and other kind of natural emotions. These are things that govern you know, how far you can go and where to go. I just,
sure.
You know, obviously the better you get at something and the longer you do it, the further you can push. So,
all right, here's we're almost out of time, Laird, but here's the question I have to ask, and I mean no disrespect in asking this.
I know,
this, but
I'm waiting for it.
Here we go. It's not even what you think.
All right.
Where are you on the age curve in terms of being able to do the things you still want to do? Is it starting to work against you now, or is it still working to your advantage because you're in great physical shape and you still have all this experience to bank on?
You know, I'm probably one of the few people you're ever going to meet that actually always says they're older than they are. I've wanted to get older. All my whole life, I've always envisioned myself.
Yeah, but you
myself.
Look better when you're older. So what? Those of us that look worse when we get older.
Well, no, but I've had a thing in my mind about being older, and then somehow, and I don't know if there's a relationship, but translating to being a little smarter, or maybe just kind of have getting through all that youthful crap that you know that you don't know if you're going to make it. And I think my desire really need to be there day in and day out will probably. I'm hoping that'll kind of be calmed down before my physical capability. My best friend, 75, done the Ironman 9 times. I mean, just an incredible athlete. And I'm not saying at 75 you're going to be like you're at 45, but up until before steroids were out, there was a guy who won the World Olympic weightlifting at 45 years old. Men at 45, 50, trained well, smart, eating well, everything can be as powerful as you ever are in your life. And I'm a little bit like the old bull, young bull. Never mind run down and get one. I want to walk down and get them all. So I got a little bit of a idea about being stronger, smarter, using that to my advantage.
Do you think you have the strength to keep your wife when Bean is trying so hard to separate you from her? Do you have the strength to fend him
off? One thing's for sure. Because
he'll have her one day, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, if she wants him... She can go.
Yeah, you're pretty safe on that.
Laird Hamilton. They would never stop laughing at Gabby if she left you for me. They would never stop pointing at the street on the street and laughing at her. That's true.
The book is Force of Nature. Laird is going to be tonight signing the book in Santa Monica at the Barnes & Noble 3rd Street Promenade at 7 o'clock. You can pick it up and have Laird sign it. Thank you for coming in again, Laird.
Hey, you guys, thanks for having me. Aloha.
It's a terrific book, by the way, and somebody on your Christmas list will want to get this book. I mean, don't you agree, Kevin? This is
absolutely.
There's something in this book for everybody. It really is very well done, Laird.
Well,
you did a great
job
with
it,
dude.
For everybody.
Thank you. It's a nice dance, Ralph.
That's how you dance that song.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We have a recap from the Kevin and Bean Spooky Singles Party and our intern Blinky.
So drunk.
Intern Blinky, who was drunk enough that got thrown out twice.
So drunk.
Yeah.
Great pictures and great video up in the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com if you want to check it out ahead of when we talk about it coming up after the news. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Indiana Jones?
I was talking to Blinky and his wife at the party, and she was... bitching because he was so hammered, and he said to her, "Why don't you go to the parking lot and check the baby in the car, see if I kept the window cracked so it could breathe?"
Yeah,
I said, "Wow, that's dark, man. It's dark.
It's dark."
Rodney, what do you think of Blinky's wife?
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Quite the sport. Before I get to showbiz news, I do want to mention. I'm so happy to do this all week long. I've got tickets to give away to one of the most anticipated movies of the year. It's going to be a special K-Rock advanced screening of Quantum of Solace.
Dude,
bitches.
That's a movie we've heard of.
Can't wait. A little James Bond. It's a special event that's happening at the Backstage Theater on the lot where Sony Pictures is. We actually go to the studio. That's where you will see the movie if you're lucky enough to win. I will be hosting the event, and we all get to see Quantum of Solace early. I love me James Bond movies. This one looks terrific.
I didn't watch all the older ones, but...
I own all of them.
The last one I loved.
Yeah,
I don't
it was
know.
Great.
Yeah.
You never seen the Connery ones?
No. Nope.
Dude, you got to check out Goldfinger.
Just the last one.
Thunderball.
It's my kind of movie, action and all that stuff, but
yeah.
I just never...
You can skip over the Roger Moore ones.
Okay.
They're gay.
All right.
But the other ones are strong. Anyway, I got 5 pairs of passes. How about me? How do you like me now? Why don't you call right now? 1-800-520-1067. The first 5 people to get through. Win a pair of passes to join me in an evening with Quantum of Solace on the Sony Pictures lot, which will be pretty cool.
It's got to be weird for Kevin, who hates all things old, that to him, Daniel Craig is the first James Bond.
He is. He's the first one I've seen.
List, this last Indiana Jones movie was the first Indiana Jones movie. He's thinking, wow, that's a pretty cool character. They should do more of it.
Have you seen this guy, James Bond? It's this great character. He's like a spy. He drives cool cars and he's... fights, bad guys?
I got a lot of stuff to do, guys. I got a very
you
busy
don't.
Schedule.
But you don't.
All that super important stuff.
That's the thing. You don't!
YouTube. That's what I have to do.
Politics. The elections.
Yes. What?
There's an election?
When is that, by the way?
I can't get enough of it. I think they should extend the campaign one more week. Just so I can get a little bit more information on the candidates. Because I'm not quite sure who I'm going to vote for. Somewhere I'm driving in saying, independent voters still say, are there still... undecided voters. Are there still undecided voters at this point?
What is going to swing it at this point?
Do they need some more information about the candidates that we haven't heard yet?
Don't forget to rock the vote this Tuesday. Get there early.
All right, Rodney.
And we got to, you know, do something. Black president. It's up to you.
What are you saying?
What? And me and all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Black president.
What
18
does that mean?
To vote.
You're trying to scare
Shake
us off
some
there?
Action. I hope you all get out there. Shake some action and
shake
rock
action.
The vote. Just think, when I'm on next week, we'll have a new president.
What color?
Elected.
Nope.
I hope black. We really need something to shake
who's
some
voting?
Action.
Get who's he voting for?
Black president.
All right.
Get out and
that
vote
could be.
Tuesday.
Could be
start early and
okay.
Go on to around 8 or 9 o'clock.
All right. Thank you.
And say goodnight. And next week, we'll have a new black president.
Okay.
Okay. All right, take some action.
Don't count it yet, Rodney.
He does say black president as if it's a threat.
Yeah, just think, black president. Keep that in mind,
like.
Black
Although
president.
Was, I think he was excited about it,
who
oddly
knows.
Enough. It's hard to tell with Rodney, but...
Anyway, politics and entertainment keep crossing paths, as they did this weekend on Saturday Night Live. John McCain showed up and did actually a very funny opening sketch.
Did he? Really?
Yes. He and Tina Fey, playing Sarah Palin, went on the air and pretended that they didn't have enough money to buy the half-an-hour infomercial that Barack Obama had on the networks.
Right.
So they could only afford to appear on QVC. And so they were selling products while they were trying to get their message out.
I like
which
it.
Actually turned out to be very funny.
That sounds funny.
He had his line of McCain Feingold because he had the
because
he co-authored that bill. So he had like gold jewelry and stuff. And Cindy McCain came out and she was modeling everything. It was actually a very entertaining sketch.
He has a great, I mean, he's a very personable, funny guy. He's gotten a little uptight in the waning weeks of the campaign, perhaps.
His strength has not been showing that sense of humor.
No.
Right, but back before he
always
was in his
Frank
tight spot in the election, he used to be on Letterman all the time. He was always hilarious.
Well, but he should have showed us a little of that.
It's on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart a lot.
Instead of Frankenstein McCain.
Funny on that.
My friends, fire bad. anyway, more showbiz political news. Now, I have to say, as a broadcast journalist, I can in no way condone this sort of behavior.
Are you a broadcast journalist?
No.
I don't think so.
But apparently, two DJs in Montreal, Canada, prank called Sarah Palin, pretending to be the president of France. Sarkozy.
I don't approve of any kind of prank calls that involve the president of France. I never
have. I don't think anyone should ever call any political figure and pretend to be someone that they're not.
Certainly not.
But wait a minute. We did that.
No, we didn't.
No, that wasn't us.
Horrible thing and it shouldn't be done.
We did not do that.
But it's hilarious. And here's the phone call from two DJs in Montreal called the Masked Avengers, is what they call themselves. They prank called Sarah Palin. And it's a long call. It's about 7 minutes, but we edited it together. Omar did, rather. But the best of it. So here it starts off very, very normally and then proceeds to go wildly out of control. Those beeps you hear are us compressing it together for time. But here's about a minute's worth of this very funny phone call.
Yes, hello, Governor Palin.
Oh, so good. It's so good to hear you. Thank you, sir. We have such great respect for you, John McCain and I. We love you.
You know, we have a lot in common because personally, one of my favorite activities is to hunt, too.
Oh, very good. We should go hunting together.
I just love killing those animals. Take away a life. That is so fun. I'd really love to go as long as we don't bring a Vice President Cheney.
No, I'll be a careful shot. Yes.
I must say, Governor Palin, I love the documentary they made on your life. You know, Hustler's Nailin Palin?
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes.
That was really edgy.
Oh, good.
I really loved you. And I must say something also, Governor. You've been pranked by the Masked Avengers. We are two comedians from Montreal.
Oh, have we been pranked? And you what radio station is this?
This is for CKOI in Montreal.
In Montreal? Tell me their radio station call letters.
Oh. CK... Hello? If one voice can change the world for Obama, one Viagra can change the world for McCain.
I'm sorry. I have to let you go. Thank you.
Oh, who's that, it turns out?
What?
Press person.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
One of her handlers took the phone at that point.
Leave Sarah Palin alone! Leave her alone, I tell you!
I love that documentary, Hustlers Nelly Palin.
I don't think she caught that.
She didn't
catch
you.
She didn't catch that at all.
No, I don't think she did. Yeah. Good times.
Very funny.
Maybe someone should call the president of France and try to get a little payback from the U.S. of A. That's all I got to say.
That's not funny. And has never happened.
Never happened.
Never would.
That's not funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Roseanne Barr is 56 years old today. Dennis Miller, the comedian, turns 55. Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV is 51 years old. And supermodel Gemma Ward turns 21 years old today. She's only 21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great googly boogly.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later in the half hour on the way. I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who came out for the Spooky Singles Halloween party. We were talking about it much earlier today. It really was one of the best parties that I think we've ever had. And it was that was just based on you, the people that came out, that made it so great. Great Halloween costumes. We called the winner of the costume contest, gave the $1,000 away about an hour ago. You can see pictures of almost everybody at the party up at KRock.com. See some great videos from the party up at KRock.com, including this young man in the studio, Kevin, who I don't think I recognize upright.
What? Blinky, welcome to the studio.
Yo.
Blinky is an intern. Sounds like Ray Romano, I know, but he's actually Blinky. You were drunk when I met you.
Yes.
Friday night, which was about 9:45.
Actually, when I met you,
smashed.
You were the first person I met from the studio at the party. I was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I actually just wanted to say that. Get that off my chest.
You were good at that point?
I had like a couple Rockstar SoCos, but I mean...
He came up to me and he said...
I got there well before Kevin, and I met you, and I was with Miss Cleo who met you, so he wasn't the first person you met from the show. That's how drunk you were, that you actually don't remember.
And then you came up to me and you said, you always ignore me when I'm in the studio.
Is that not true? I was standing right next to you the other day waiting to get money for food, and you just turn and walk away. I'm standing right there like waiting for you to finish talking. You don't even remember it.
I'm pretty retarded. I may not have known you were there. But I'm not rude to anybody. Am I rude to anybody, Lisa?
No.
No.
You're not rude.
Occupied.
Well, what are you talking about?
Ignoring
then?
And rudeness are different.
Well, you I think said, I was. If I was ignoring, I think I was doing the right thing. So, Friday night, you got drunk, and then you got drunker.
Yes.
And then your wife left you, and she was dancing and having fun, and you went into the confessional booth. You started rapping with the song. You can go to Kevin and Bean at KRock.com and then go to videos.
Okay.
And click on Behind the Music. There's a special episode just on our intern, Blinky.
Nice.
Who started out upright and then ended up on the floor.
On the floor, yes. I was reenacting a moment from 2001 A Space Odyssey with the lights and the...
He was laying on the floor going, 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh my God.
And then, like, you started making motions like you were having sex with the floor. You did? Don't even look at me like that.
You're gonna have to... What was that about, Blink?
You're going to have to trust me on that one.
Sex with the floor. Wow.
And then the security guard came and threw you out.
Okay.
The first time. And then about 15 minutes later, Blinky came in and he came up to me. He's like, I got back in past the security guard.
That's why
he didn't even see me.
Having a hot wife, you know, she came out with me to, you know, give me support. And she started talking to the security guard. And as soon as he had him engaged,
You went right back in. And, but what about your wife?
What about her?
You left her outside?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then you go back inside. At what point did you throw up
all over
a girl?
No.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
I saw a picture and my shirt is wet. I don't know what that is.
It's throw up.
Oh,
no.
You threw up on a girl and you threw up on the bar.
No. That's
yes.
A,
in
no
one
way.
Shot. I swear to God. I was standing right there. What do you mean there's no way? And the floor. It was all over everything. And they had to bring the mop, and they had to block it off.
Yes. This is the first I'm hearing about
this that. This is like 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Wow.
And you had to be thinking to yourself, Kevin, as you were watching, like, you had to be thinking, that man is a father. Yeah. That man is raising a child.
I was so thrilled with that. I don't know why. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. And the King of Mexico was standing by me. And the King of Mexico at that point called the security over and had you kicked out again and get you through.
I don't blame anyone for anything. I would have punched me in the face numerous times.
You should have been punched in the face numerous times.
The only time I remember throwing up was I made my wife pull over. We were lost in L.A. for 2 hours coming home. She pulls over. I puke. I go home, and I have four shirts on as part of my costume. And I take it off, and I'm in the car ride home, actually, puking into my shirt as my wife is trying to get the navigation system working. I'm barfing SpaghettiOs. There's still spaghetti debris.
Okay.
From
you don't need to know specifics. Come on.
You have to know specifics. Is that
hey, we saw SpaghettiOs on the floor of the club. Of course. You got to know that's true. Blinky, you may have overdone it a little is what we're saying.
Do you not get out much? Is that the problem?
Dude, I'm here 2 days a week. I'm at school 2 days a week. And I work my other job 3 days a week. I babysit every night.
Right.
My wife's, I do nothing but that. And when I do get out and have a day off, I get slammered to the maximum.
Yeah.
For no reason.
You could have left out the pre-partying, though. I think.
That's true.
Because you were really smashed.
Dude, I wanted to save money, and I ended up spending like almost $100.
Oh, you wanted to save money by drinking before you went?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then I'm like buying Omar drinks. I'm like, Omar. He's like, I don't have any more drink tickets. I'm like, I got it, man. Here, man.
Well, Blinky brought it. You can see the special behind the music in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page at KROQ.com. You can also see pictures of all of us in our costumes and all of the listeners that showed up in their costumes. And then there's the confessional video with one of our listeners who pees herself while she's in front of the camera.
By the way, was that the Miss Double December?
No, that was her friend.
It was her friend. Okay. Yeah, the other raccoon, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that Medusa Lounge was awesome, by the way, in Silver Lake. They were the perfect place for a Halloween singles party. I mean, it was a fantastic club, and I don't think they're ever going to invite us back. I really don't.
Because of Blinky alone.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps.
I mean, this just didn't. Like,
I heard you saying earlier, Kevin, that thank God the election is going to be here tomorrow because you can't take another minute of the campaigning for
I
all this
can't.
Time.
I don't
but then I,
hate them
I saw
all.
That I saw that article over the weekend that 23% of voters in Texas think Barack Obama is a Muslim, and I think maybe somehow the campaign hasn't been long enough because clearly, there are still people out there who have no idea what's going on.
But do you think those people are going to get reached at any point? I mean, let's just vote. Let's vote today. Can we just vote today? Let's get it over with.
You can't in Norwalk.
Let's go down and vote right now.
Well.
And end it.
You just got to hang on a few more hours, buddy. You'll get your chance. Don't worry.
Hey, guys, don't forget to vote tomorrow. It's really important that everyone get out there and vote to make sure everybody knows they have to vote.
Whoa,
and I want
Troy.
All of you guys to make sure you get out there and vote. Everyone here at the K-Rock family. You know, we're one big happy family. We're like a democracy here at K-Rock, and it's important to support that by getting out there and rocking the vote.
This is our new station manager, Troy Coughlin, who's kind of a mix between The Secret and a used car salesman.
Guys, I can't tell you how important it is to support democracy.
Right.
It's the very lifeblood of our nation.
Right. We're talking about voting. We're saying vote.
Yeah. Let's do more than talk about it, Kevin. Let's get out there and vote. What do you say?
Well, we can't do that today.
I just want everyone to get ready. Mark your calendars. Tomorrow's the day. We're all going to get out there. We're all going to vote. I want to see everyone here at the station get out there and vote because it couldn't be more important. I'm here to motivate you, to inspire you.
Don't get out and vote.
Don't need motivation.
Hit it, Steve. That's right, because we're living in America, everybody. And keep in mind, Theodore Parker once said, democracy means not I am as good as you are, but you are as good as I am. And that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know what that means.
With the bad self.
That doesn't help us at all, Troy. I don't know why you're even here right now.
As Thomas Jefferson once said, wherever the people are well-informed, they can be trusted with their own government. So I want you to be well-informed. I want you to read about the propositions. I want you to get out there and then cast your vote as a well-informed member of this democracy.
Planning on doing
that. Hit it, Steve!
God bless
We don't need to hear this, Troy.
God bless America.
This doesn't help us. We don't need to hear this.
The care of human life and happiness, and not their destruction, is the first and only object of good government.
Okay, how does that help us?
Democracy, Kevin, is not being. It is becoming.
I don't know what that means.
It is easily lost, but never finally won.
Okay, you're just confusing people right now.
America's support for human rights and democracy is our noblest export to the world.
You do some kind of work where this kind of talk works. I mean, does this work in your world?
Of course it works. Doesn't it get you worked up and want you just to go out there and vote? Doesn't it make you want to love America the way I love America?
It actually makes me want to hit your head on a curb is what it makes me want to do.
Come on, Bean. Get out there and vote. It's important that everyone, because remember, in politics, an organized minority is a political majority. So we all get out there and we're informed and we're dedicated to democracy. We can change things. Hit it, Steve. That's right, because we're all born in the USA.
We must preach the virtues of democracy abroad.
This is
but
not
But we must practice its duties here at home.
This is not helping.
Voting is the first duty of democracy.
Troy, why are you yelling?
Because the music's so loud.
Okay, then you're the one who brought in the music.
Must be heard.
Yeah. All right, listen, we're planning on voting.
Yeah, we don't need this
speech. It's not helping inspire us.
The thing about democracy, my friends, is that it's not neat, it's not orderly or quiet. It requires a certain relish for confusion, but it must be served! Hit it, Steve!
I don't know what that...
We're gonna stick an American boot in your ass!
What does that mean?
In that voting boot!
How do you do that?
It's a voting boot in your ass!
It's not a boot!
A voting boot! I may have misunderstood the song!
Alright, Troy,
but
listen.
But still get out there and vote because I love America! Right. You love America!
Right.
Together we all love America!
Okay.
And it's not just your right, it's your duty to get out there and support this country!
We
appreciate
it. Votes are things!
No, they're not! I don't even know what that means!
Votes are things!
All right. Thinking about voting
is not a thing.
All right.
You actually have to pull that lever. Mark that check.
We're planning
check
on it.
Check that box.
Don't you have people to go fire? Can't you just leave right now?
What are we toting?
I don't know.
Bravery on the way. Also, Green Day and Paralyzer, which is my porn name by Finger 11. That's all coming up. First, though, how about TMZ.com, world's greatest entertainment website, and TMZ television airing weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Our friend Harvey Levin, managing editor from TMZ, on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Harvey.
Happy Blovember, guys.
Happy Blovember to you. Hey, what kind of wild Hollywood Halloween party were you at Friday night, Harvey?
You know what? Are you asking that for a reason? Because somebody just said something to me. None. What do you know?
Well, we just figured you would be.
Yeah. I just figured you would be because you're in with all the cool people. So I figured you probably went to something righteous.
Righteous.
You know, I got to tell you, I was at the wildest shopping mall at Penguin's Frozen Yogurt. I can't even begin.
Wow, that must have been going.
I heard what you guys were doing. Mine was pretty much the same.
All right. Well, it is Blovember, and are you kind of sad to lose, potentially to lose Sarah Palin on TMZ.com after the election tomorrow? I mean, it's anticipated that her side will lose because she's been great for your site, right?
Well, she's been great for the site, but I'm not prepared to let her go quite yet because over the weekend, actually yesterday, we have a guy in D.C. I got to tell you guys, he is so funny. His name is Colin, and he just asks the funniest questions. And I don't know how he does this, but he got in Hillary Clinton's face yesterday, literally her face, and he said. He basically said, do you think she's going to be, how did she put it, vice president or is it penthouse or vice president for Sarah Palin?
Nice.
And you got to see it. It's going to be in the show tonight, and it's on the site. But it's just hilarious, and Hillary's reaction to it. But the better one, even, is John McCain, that Colin got literally face-to-face with John McCain.
Wow.
So much, I know, so much for security.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, and the great thing, I mean, what would you ask John McCain if you had, like, 3 seconds?
Put your hands in the air like you just don't care?
No, that is a great question. Your cameramen sometimes literally just have 3 seconds, and it's up to them to come up with something funny. What did your guy ask?
It's the best. He says to him, so on Wednesday, you going fishing?
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's tough. That's
really
hard.
Think about it. When you got 3 seconds, that's a pretty damn great question.
Spur of the moment, that's pretty good.
It is really, really
until funny. McCain becomes president, and then he is kicked the hell right out of the country.
Gets deported, right?
Your cameraman's gone.
It is funny, Harvey. We'll move on to actual celebrities in a moment, but it is funny. These people who have been running, these people who have been running for president and running the government, they're famous people. But it seems like for whatever reason, and maybe it's because TMZ is so popular now, it seems like they're actually celebrities now. It almost seems like these people are different now that, they're showing up on The View and on Martha Stewart's show and everything like that. They don't seem like politicians anymore. They seem just like celebrities.
Because it's all merged.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, listen, there was a sports star, and I'm going to the site right now because we did it over the weekend, but 20 people got suspended at a hospital somewhere in the South, and they got suspended for going into a guy from the Jaguars.
Right.
And they got suspended for going into his medical files at a hospital. And it's like, that's the same thing that happened with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
But sports stars and politicians, it's all about fame, and it's all kind of merging into one pot. It's really interesting.
It's a little scary.
It is. All right, let me ask you about Michael Jackson, because he got a couple of neat things up at TMZ.com right now. First of all, a very funny photo. Tell us how Michael Jackson ends up going through a KFC drive-thru window.
Well, I mean, when you if you know this, although we did call it Michael Jackson finger looking good, which I thought was
sure, that was good.
You know, Michael Jackson has a fabled history of loving himself some KFC.
Right.
During the child molestation hearing, it actually came out in documents that we got. In fact, back in the celebrity justice days, when Michael Jackson used to basically drink Jesus juice and get KFC ordered on the airplane, and because that was his meal of choice. So he went through a drive-thru in an SUV, and of course he's in the back seat. He didn't have to actually grab it with his glove. But people did it for him, but he made a midnight run to KFC.
But there were, in that photo that you've got up there, there were, looked like 15 security guys making the world's largest episode. I mean, why did they just drive through?
Well,
because he's Michael Jackson, I guess?
Because he's Michael Jackson, yeah.
What an idiot.
You know?
Harvey, what do you know about this offer that he apparently has turned down to play for Steve Wynn's new casino in Las Vegas? Unbelievable amount of money, right?
I got to tell you something. That is the report that he's turned down Steve Wynn. But we have been saying for 2 years, because we heard literally during the trial, when it looked like he was going to get acquitted, that Steve Wynn had basically made a standing offer. They are really close. I mean, they've been really, really close. And you know, the report is crazy. It's $2 billion. It's a $2 billion project.
Wow.
We have been hearing this for 2 years, that Wynn is building this monster facility and that Michael Jackson was going to be the Celine Dion type headliner there. And I got to tell you something. I really still believe this story. I believe it's going to happen. They are really close. It makes sense for him. And someday we're going to be talking and I'm going to say, do you remember that I said this? And you're going to say, no.
Isn't he at the point? Because we don't remember anything. Isn't he at the point, though, where he's got to take something?
Yeah, he's got no money, right?
He's got no money and he doesn't really have a career. I mean, he's supposedly recording something right now, but he's recording the same crap that he recorded. I mean, I shouldn't say that.
No, but that's true. That's what he's...
But it's not crap. But he's recording...
It wasn't in the early 80s, but it is now. I mean, he hasn't had a CD that's been great in a long time, has he?
And name anybody living who would be bigger in Las Vegas than Michael Jackson.
You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
No, absolutely. Payday. Like, there's no way he could top that. I mean, that's the way to make the most money for him. And that building that you're talking about, I was just in Las Vegas over the weekend, Harvey, and I saw where it is. It's enormous. Isn't it the most expensive private building ever built in the United States?
That's what I understand. I mean, this thing is it's just crazy. But, you know, Wynn wants to make – you know, everybody in Vegas is trying to trump everybody else, and this would do it. And who better than Michael Jackson? They are really close.
Yeah.
Really, really close. I just think it's going to happen. And it makes sense. I mean, Michael Jackson's not going to acknowledge this until they're ready for a big splash. It doesn't make sense to do it right now. But
of course, that makes sense. But once they do announce it, and then we have Michael Jackson sightings all over Vegas, that's going to be fun.
Oh, that's going to be the best.
That's really going to be great.
I'm going to ask one more question of you, Harvey, before you go. And again, check out TMZ.com. And I know that you lawyers hate the questions that call for speculation. But do you think that any of his siblings could actually call Michael Jackson on the phone? Like, do you think Tito has a number that gets through to his brother Michael?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Well, because think about it, because you got to figure that if you're Randy or Tito or one of these brothers, I mean, all you do is sit around in between years that Michael decides to, you know, you're waiting for him to decide to tour again, because that's the only way you have to make any money. So,
I mean,
he probably freezes them out, right?
It's so funny you say that, because we did a piece on Thursday when it came out that they might have the reunion.
Right.
And we did it's the Jackson 5 I'm So Frickin' Poor tour. And it was so funny. And we were listing all of the people, and we said Tito and Randy and another brother and another brother,
sure,
and Donner and Blitzen.
Whoever they are.
Can you
imagine being the brother or sister of Michael Jackson and not being successful at all? And how do you make money?
I know.
And how weird is it to not be able to call your own brother and get him on the phone? But I almost would guarantee that they can't.
They probably get down on their knees and pray that he's going to accept this gig with Steve Wynn.
Yeah, no
exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, great stuff as always. The TV show is still terrific. It's at 6:30 weeknights on Channel 11. TMZ.com goes 24/7 on the internet. Send some junk. Harvey, great to catch up with you, dude. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. High School Musical 3, Senior Year, still number one at the box office. High School Musical, who says
we have to let it go? Are you over it yet, Ralph?
You know who says we have to let it go? I do.
Yeah.
I say you have to let it go.
It's time. It is time. It's time.
$15 million it made. Makes it number one. Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Our buddy Kevin Smith's new movie came in at number two with almost $11 million in ticket sales this weekend.
Very glad for him.
Is that about what they were expecting? Is that good for Kevin?
He was hoping for about that. He was hoping ideally about 15 would have been... You know, perfect, but still, it's pretty close. And
he has scarred me, though, with that one scene. I'm scarred.
Yeah, there is, as I mentioned, there is the one scene that Seth Rogen and I referred to as the cake scene. Not so much because it involves cake. It involves frosting more than cake, really. But, yeah, it'll stick with you.
Yes, it will, so to speak.
That'll last. Saw 5 came in at number 3. Changeling was number 4. The Haunting of Molly Hartley came in inexplicably at number 5.
Now, what is that? Which one is that? That's the spinoff Chase, of Brothers and Sisters?
No, Chase Crawford plays the guy trying to save his girlfriend from being possessed by the devil
Isn't
when she
like
turns 18.
Is that like a true 18? Story or something? Or?
Yes, Kevin. A girl got possessed by the devil when she turned 18.
There was one of them that tried to save her.
You're right. That's a true story.
There was one of them. It was a haunting story.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua you're thinking of. That's the true story about the talking chihuahua who goes to Mexico. That was number 5. Number 6 was Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Secret Bees, what, Life, huh? The Secret Life of Bees was number 7. Max Payne was 8. Eagle Eye was 9. Pride and Glory rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Is that a true story? Lindsay Lohan. Excuse me. Lindsay Lohan is still a party animal. Spies tell People magazine that the rehabbed redhead was partying it up just like the good old days in New York last week.
Oh, good.
Apparently, she was at the place called the Beatrice Inn, which is a popular watering hole for the rich and famous in New York City. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen were also there, celebrating the release of their new book, A Few Tables Down. Have you seen these books that they've,
no, what are they?
That they've released?
These billionaire twins
have released two books. Mary-Kate wrote one, Ashley wrote the other.
And what is it?
I don't know. It's fashion and life lessons and other important things they have to teach you.
How are they
big
billionaires?
Coffee table books. Big honking coffee How are table they? Books.
It's a dieting book.
Yeah, it's a dieting book. The book is actually fatter than they are. apparently, the twosome wanted nothing to do with Lindsay and her girlfriend Samantha Ronson. They kept clear of the two as they partied hard in New York City. So it's another rehab trip just around the corner for Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
You believe the rumors? The new kids on the block, they are cool, man. They are tough guys.
Are they
party animals?
Are they? Any of that?
They're telling everyone who will listen that they have a stripper pole installed in their tour bus.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They are crazy.
It's on now.
They get so many women because they're really guys who would like to have sex with women. Yeah. Their representative, however, denies there's any debauchery going on.
Sure.
Saying it was a gift from someone, and it's all in good fun. For the first time ever, I believed a press rep.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything going on that stripper pole in the New Kids on the Block tour bus. And here's the first study that actually proves, with some scientific evidence, that teenagers who watch a lot of sex on TV are more likely to get pregnant and or, in the boy's case, get their girl pregnant than teens who don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did the study?
The Rand Corporation. Which is a pretty reputable...
Anyone we've heard of?
Pretty reputable company. Studied 700 12 to 17-year-olds. And they've published their study in today's issue of Pediatrics, which is a pediatric medical journal, as you can imagine. And they say it's the first study that absolutely links teen pregnancy with sexual themes on television. The more kids watch shows like Sex in the City, That 70s Show, there's about 20 of the shows they listed here, including dramas, comedies, reality shows, anything that had a lot of sex scenes, discussion of sex, they said those kids were more likely to have unplanned pregnancies. So it may be something to be said for parents watching what their kids watch on television.
Hmm.
which I think is a good rule of thumb anyway.
Absolutely.
But still, looks like there's actually some scientific evidence. Which I thought was interesting. And Katy Perry celebrated her birthday last week. It was sort of a creepy birthday party. I'm guessing it was sort of in line with the fact that Halloween was last week as well. But it was her 24th birthday party. And the entire party was death-themed.
Death?
Yes. The birthday cake was shaped like a corpse. So everyone was taking bites out of that.
Okay.
Everyone took pictures in a photo booth that was a coffin.
Okay.
And Katy herself came dressed in costume as the late Queen singer Freddie Mercury. I don't know how she hid those giant cans of hers in a Freddie Mercury costume, but I wish I'd been there to check it.
Giant size cans.
I would go at Katy Perry even if she was dressed like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I think so too.
Even with the mustache.
Especially after that trip to the cake that she had at the MTV Awards in Europe.
Yeah, awesome.
Dome head first into a cake.
She's a good time. Whew. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Gemma Ward, supermodel, is 21 years old today. Actor Dolph Lundgren, probably best known for playing Drago in Rocky IV, is 51. Dennis Miller turns 55. And actress and comedian Roseanne Barr turns 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. And I walk the showbiz beat.
From time to time, our listeners come up with great ideas far better than we could ever think of on our own. And here's an instant request from K-Rock listener Monty, who writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I know the nation is captivated by Governor Palin from Alaska these days. I was just wondering what your friend Sean Connery thinks about her, though. Perhaps you could hook the two of them together for a Kevin and Bean instant request.
No, can do.
Did that make you a little bit nervous, maybe?
Can't do that. Sorry. Thanks for writing.
Let's see how that one might sound, Monty.
Let's don't.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean's
instant request.
Hey, Sean Connery.
Good morning, you How are you?
Nothing ever changes with you, Mr. Connery.
I hear from you again.
Well,
are
it was...
Still each other in the...
No, sir.
No, that's stop doing that.
We've never done that.
Good idea, because you can get the hemorrhoids that way.
Oh, Sean.
It's true. Not to mention
Okay, listen, Sean. That's not what we're calling.
Am I wrong?
Well, we're not. I don't know. I don't care. We're not calling about that. Think about it.
If you put your wouldn't you expect to get some on it?
We don't have time.
I mean, it's just logical.
Okay, let's move on. Mr. Connery, the reason we have you on today, as you may have heard on hold, is one of our listeners suggested that we talk to you and also talk to, potentially, the next Vice President of the United States, Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska, who I think we have on the line right now as well. Ms. Palin?
You betcha. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. How are you this morning?
Oh, couldn't be better. So happy to be in America and to be a maverick.
Certainly, and I know, of course, it's been a very busy week for you with the election tomorrow, so we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Say hello to Mr. Sean Connery on the other line.
Hello, this is Sean Connery.
Well, I'm such a big fan of yours, Mr. Connery. It's such a pleasure to talk to you and to be talking with you on the phone and hearing your voice.
How would you like to my
what?
Well, okay.
What? What, did you not hear what he said, Ms. Palin?
He said, how's my stock, right? Because everyone's worried about all this economic problems and Barack Obama wanting to turn us into socialists, so people are worried about their stock.
I said
Well, that's just inappropriate, if you ask me, to be saying that word. Can you even say that on the radio? What type of show are you fellas running over there? You betcha. With me being a maverick.
Now, Mr. Connery, I know that you can't vote in our U.S. election, but have you expressed any preference for either of the candidates for the election this year in the U.S.?
Well, it's a difficult decision for Americans this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got an old
Wow, that's not how we... Come on!
And I'm just glad to be a Scotsman, that's all. Because we don't have to worry about that in our country.
Come on, Sean.
They're all just old white guys who wear skirts.
Yeah, well...
Those are our only choices.
Did he just use that word I thought he used?
He did.
Yeah. I like him now.
He did use that word.
Well, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Wait a minute. You like him, Governor Palin?
Well, that's a funny word, let's face it. We say that all the time up here in Alaska because there aren't many of them, you know.
Okay, but that's
the worst we have to deal with are the Eskimos. And they're just tan. They're not even brown. Okay. They spend a lot of time in the sun because they're out there and it's all shiny on the ice. And
right.
They get an excellent tan.
Right.
And then they tend to eat whale blubber, you know.
Right.
And other life, other sea life.
Right.
That's their primary diet. And they sure do kill them. And I love killing animals.
You
so
do.
They're okay with me.
Okay.
I'd like to spearfish your if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to throw my harpoon into your Moby.
Okay.
Come on. I think this has gone quite far enough.
As
if
do
you
I.
Ask me.
As do I, Governor Palin.
But I have to admit, I'm getting a little.
I knew all you right. wanted some.
Okay. All right, you guys.
That's it. We got to hang up right now.
Feisty maverick.
Okay. Thank you to Sean Connery. Thank you to Governor Palin for joining us for this Kevin and Bean Instant Request. Good day to you both.
Oh, good day to you then, sir. Off.
I just feel like win or lose, there's going to be a riot, and somehow I'm going to get me a TV. That's all I hope. I don't care how. Either way, I don't care who wins, as long as I get me a TV.
TV'd be cool.
I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. TMZ Television airs weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Also, thanks to Lisa's next husband, Laird Hamilton, for joining us today. Laird is going to be promoting his new book at the Barnes & Noble at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica tonight at 7 o'clock. That is a dude who's just living in a different life than the rest of us.
Yeah, he's a beautiful, beautiful man.
Can't even imagine. Also, congratulations to Gigi Geiger for joining us today on the phone. She was the $1,000 winner of the Kevin and Bean costume contest from the party on Friday night for Halloween. She lives in Orange and picked up $1,000 for winning that contest thanks to your votes through KROQ.com this weekend. All right. See you tomorrow for election coverage, nonstop election coverage tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, because we do, after all, have the best political team in television.
That's
so this
right.
is where you expect to find it. Kat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop, including the new one from Rise Against, also Slightly Stupid, Linkin Park, Weezer, and more right after this on KROQ.